laughing and running, hey, hey, skipping and jumping. In the misty morning fog with our hearts thumping, and you, my brown eyed girl. Whatever happened to Tuesday and so slow? Gone down the old man with a transistor radio. Standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow's wall. Slipping and sliding.
That's great, it starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and aeroplanes.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Connecticut's Attorney General is accusing Bank of America Corporation of lying during the recent merger with Fleet Bank. Attorney General Richard Blumenthal has asked the Bank of America to provide information on how Wednesday's job cuts will affect employment levels in that state. Blumenthal said that the bank promised that current employment levels in Connecticut would remain steady or possibly increase after the merger. The bank has not announced how many positions were cut, but the Boston Globe reported that the number could be upwards of 1,500.
More bad news for workers at the nation's second-largest airline. A look into the books at United's pension fund shows the carrier poured millions into risky investments that often didn't pay off. Everything from junk bonds and high-tech startups that failed to energy traders like Dynergy and El Paso Energy. United's pension assets lost about 9.5% of their total value in 2002, while the average company's fund stayed roughly even that year. As a result, United is only able to meet about half of its $13 billion in pension liabilities. The company is expected to default on its obligations to retirees in the coming months.
New rules proposed by the Department of Homeland Security could make it harder for internal critics of the Border Patrol to be vocal. Officials of the National Border Patrol Council say that the new laws make it easier for management to punish or fire employees that criticize policies. The proposed regulations allow for expedited termination of employees for national security reasons by allowing for mandatory firing offenses and elimination of arbitration.
Another person has been charged in Texas for dangerously cramming undocumented Mexican workers into a truck to illegally transport them over the U.S.-Mexico border. The latest case involves 79 immigrants, including 14 children between the ages of 3 and 17. No one was harmed, unlike last year when 19 people died from heat after a truck filled with 70 immigrants was abandoned, locked, at a South Texas truck stop. It's estimated that between 300 and 400 Mexicans died each year trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The U.S. has nearly 6.9 million people in prison, on parole, or on probation, just over 3% of the population. A recent report from the Justice Department says that more than 130,000 people were processed by the justice system in 2003. The number of people on parole or probation also increased last year, up to 4.8 million. That's a rise of 73,000 over 2002. 38% of those discharged on parole ended up back in prison by the end of the year.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You put in 30 years at the company. You got good pay, health care. Then they send you a job overseas. And under George Bush, the company actually gets a tax break for doing it. Now, Bush says we're in recovery. And after a year, you finally land another job, and you wonder, is this what you worked your whole life for? We're not being led. We're being misled.
Attention, Americans. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to protest. To exercise any or all of these rights, please report to the officially designated protest pen, conveniently provided by the authorities. Holy Thomas Paine! Holy Sam Adams! What would the rebels of 1776 say about the autocratic, anti-democratic move by today's powers that be to force dissenters into fenced-off, out-of-the-way cages if they want to express any disagreements with government and corporate policies? The founders fought a revolution so that all of America could be open to free speech, not just a few square yards that they imperiously now dub free speech zones. George W. is the one who pioneered this insult to democracy back when he was governor of Texas, but is now standard police procedure to shove American protesters out of sight and out of mind. I saw it at the Democratic Party's recent convention in Boston, a town that, ironically, considers itself the birthplace of liberty. Everyone from anti-war activists to anti-choice demonstrators were to be shunted into a narrow, dank, half-block strip of asphalt under an abandoned elevated train track. Enmeshed in cyclone fencing topped with razor wire and enclosed with concrete bunkers, this dismal space was not in shouting distance of the convention. A federal judge described the protest zone as an internment camp, and he called it an affront to the idea of free expression. Yet, incredibly, he refused to outlaw it. Just as at the Boston Tea Party, however, the rebellious citizenry took matters into their own hands. Thousands of protesters simply marched right past the police pen and proceeded to the convention hall where they expressed themselves fully and peacefully. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the American way. To fight the un-American use of free speech zones, call the National Lawyers Guild, 212-679-5100. I'm Jim Hightower, and I've approved this message.
Jim Hightower is not running for office, but he is back this campaign season with an important word about the regime of King George the W.
Let's stop beating around the bush. These people are nuts.
Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush is Hightower's hilarious new best-selling book, offering you unvarnished facts, insight, and humor to get you through this year's political spin cycle. Buy Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush today and make politics fun again. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy it today.
Buy Goodfellas on DVD today. Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times calls it the best mob movie ever.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
The masterpiece by Martin Scorsese, nominated for 6 Academy Awards, is on a 2-disc special edition DVD.
Never rat on your friends and always keep your mouth shut.
Loaded with bonus features, including director commentary, documentaries, and more.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Goodfellas, buy it today on DVD. Radar.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border on terrestrial radio stations from California to North Carolina, beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite system, streaming around the planet on radiopower.org. Welcome to our program. It's Friday. The first hour of our program every Friday, Brunch with Bernie. Congressman Bernie Sanders with us, as always. Congressman Sanders in 1991 became the first independent congressman elected in 40 years. He has since been reelected 5 times. He's the longest serving independent in the history of the House of Representatives. If you'd like to speak with Congressman Sanders, you have questions for him, our number is 1-866, one of those newfangled toll-free numbers, 1-866-889-8894. And the lines are open. And Congressman Sanders, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Tom.
It's always great to have you here. Bernie, I understand you're a grandfather.
Yes, I am. We just had a wonderful, beautiful baby boy named Cole born 2 days ago, and mother and child are doing very well. Thank you.
Well, that's wonderful. Congratulations. Louise and I keep hoping, but it hasn't happened here yet. Anyhow, congratulations on that. Bernie, the AFL-CIO has just put out a really interesting new piece on overtime regulations, myths and facts about George Bush's changes in the overtime rules. Can you speak to that?
Sure, I can. You know, Tom, as the middle class shrinks and as people are forced to work longer and longer hours for lower wages, one of the ways that the middle class in this country are making it is through overtime, which means that if you work 40 hours a week, you get time and a half. obviously the Bush administration, working with corporate America and the big money interests, are trying to figure out a way that they can save money. Why should you pay a worker time and a half when you can get them at regular time after they work 50 or 60 hours? So what they have done is worked on new rules, which suddenly are making a whole lot of folks into quote-unquote supervisors who will be ineligible for time and a half. So what's happening now is if you have a worker who is flipping hamburgers or doing some other job but has, on some occasions, supervises other people, that person can be bumped up to being a supervisor and lose their ability to get time and a half. There are estimates that as many as 6 million Americans will lose their eligibility for time and a half. And obviously this is going to hurt a lot of middle-class families.
Yeah, this is absolutely extraordinary. The myth is that very few workers making between $23,600 and $100,000 will lose their overtime eligibility. What's the reality on that?
And that's just not true at all. What they're trying to imply is, look, somebody is a big boss, you know, they're a supervisor, they don't need a time and a half. But the reality is that there are workers today who could make as little as $23,660 a year, and that is eligibility levels for food stamps, who could lose their time and a half. So at a time when Bush is pushing a disastrous trade policy, costing us millions of decent-paying manufacturing jobs, at a time when he refuses to raise the minimum wage, at a time when all of the studies are suggesting that real inflation accounted for wages are going down, when the gap between the rich and the poor is growing wider, this guy does not let up.
Yeah. Well,
this guy does not let up, and now they're going to go after time and a half, which will be a disaster for potentially millions and millions of American families.
Yeah. Let me just remind our listeners, our toll-free number is 1-866-889-8894. If you have a question for a member of the United States Congress here, Congressman Bernie Sanders. This goes back to really 1980, doesn't it, when Ronald Reagan came into office and declared war on Americans of workers. At that time,
you're absolutely right, but I have to say that the Bush people are taking this to a whole new level. We're not only at war in Iraq. We should be clear about this. We are at a war against the middle class in this country, and I fear very, very much that given the decline of good-paying jobs, given the loss of overtime, given the refusal of Bush and his friends not only not to raise the minimum wage, many of them want to abolish the minimum wage, given the move toward the privatization of Social Security and Medicare, you know, given the collapse of our health care system. Tom, you tell me what's going to be there for middle-class families in years to come.
Well, what's very clear to me is that these guys want to take us to the world of Charles Dickens. They want to take us back to the era of McKinley, you know, where you had virtually no middle class. You had a terrified large number of very poor people working very, very hard and a small ruling elite. I mean, that's essentially, in my mind, a conservative
agenda. I think you hit it right on the head. And this is not just some idle speculation. This is what people like Karl Rove are literally saying. I think McKinley was Rove's favorite president,
is
that right?
Yeah, he's outspoken about it, he's using McKinley's presidency as the model for George W. Bush's presidency.
So the essence of the issue here, and I hope that people understand it, Bush and his friends see government itself as evil. So they believe that if hard times come, unemployment goes up, and you have a worker who is forced desperately forced to take any job available, and if an employer wants to pay that worker $2 an hour, that's okay. Why should you have a minimum wage that says that an American worker should receive at least a minimal wage? They want to do away with that. They want to do away with Social Security and the guarantee that every senior or disabled person in this country will at least have a minimal standard of living. So when you talk about going back to the 1980s, I think you're going further than that. I really do believe that these guys want to bring us back to the 19th century, right, when people who had the money totally controlled our government, controlled our economic life, and average Americans had virtually no rights at all. And we've got to do everything we can to stop that.
Right. Well, the excesses of the robber baron era spawned the populist and progressive movements in the 1880s, 1890s, early 1900s. And, you know, it seems like that's happening again, but that's us. we got to get active.
We've got to.
Bernie, don't you think that there's been
What the studies show is that in terms of distribution of wealth and income, we are moving right back to the 1920s. We are looking at a time when the wealthiest 1% own more wealth than the bottom 90%. The gap between the rich and the poor is growing wider. Poverty is increasing. CEOs make 500 times what their workers make. I mean, we are moving in exactly the wrong direction.
Yeah. Let's take a phone call here. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Andy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico is on the line. Andy, you're live with Congressman Sanders.
Oh, thank you, sir. You know, there's another curveball here. I honestly don't know the solution to this, but I work for a small company. We do electronics assembly, and the people that run the company, there's a couple people here that and they're good people. They drive like a Saturn, and the other one drives like some old car. They don't make 500 times what I do. But what we've tried to do is get all together and say, look, we don't want to lose the contracts that we've got to China or Malaysia. And so, you know, we the people, borrow a line, have basically agreed that we'll work overtime without extra pay. But it's the only way we can keep our jobs. And I know...
Andy is making a really good point. Stay on the phone for a minute, Andy, because here's what the tragedy is. You got these big corporations like General Electric very proudly saying, hey, when we look to the future, we're looking to China and to hell with the middle class of this country, which made us into a great corporation. You have this guy who's head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce nationally urging American companies to go abroad. And then you have a whole lot of small companies like what Andy is talking about, and these people want to stay in America. They want to have good-paying jobs in this country, but they are being put in impossible situations. And the results are, in some cases, they say, we have no choice. We've got to go. Or what they say, if we want to stay competitive, we're going to have to take cuts in our wages or our health care, or in this case, work overtime without that the time and a half.
So they're setting.
Yes, sir. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah, they're setting the threshold.
So what we want to do, Andy, what some of us in Congress want to do, is instead of giving billions and billions of dollars to corporate welfare to these large companies, we want to help small businesses who want to stay in the United States. And that's how I think we've got to change our economic focus in this country. Does that make sense to you?
Well, yeah. God bless you, because you know it's brutal down here. I got to tell you, we hear a lot, you know, from the Bush campaign and everybody else about how the economy's getting better, and maybe it is for some people, but like I said, we're a small company. There's only about 40 of us here, and it's just in order to stay competitive, and I mean, we contract, oddly enough, you said General Electric, we contract to them, and in order to stay competitive, we got to cut to the bone.
And that's what we call the race to the bottom.
Yeah. And that's...
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Andy.
Bernie, it's interesting to me how successfully the cons, using, you know, 30 years now of think tanks and in-depth psychology, have reframed things. You know, like the thing about taxes is the obvious one. We used to all understand, as Franklin Roosevelt said, that taxes are the price of admission to a civil society. But, you know, by using phrases like tax burden and tax relief, they imply that taxes are some kind of a disease, a penalty. But the other thing is that we used to understand in the United States that a worker gives part of their life. They give their work and their sweat and their efforts to an employer, and the employer makes a profit from that labor. If they didn't, they wouldn't employ somebody. So, in other words, the workers are offering something to employers, and they've completely flipped it around to where, oh, well, we'll give you a job. Like it's a gift from the Lord.
That's right. You know? That's right. And you're seeing in community after community, state after state, where these companies who, if they are going to build a facility, They're into corporate welfare. What is the county, what is the town, what is the state going to give us in tax breaks and subsidies to create jobs? So in many ways, working people are paying in increased taxes for the right to work.
Right,
and
to have a job.
Meanwhile, corporate profits are soaring, and the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Yeah, okay. Dave in Humboldt County, California is on the line. Dave, I think we've got about 30 seconds before a break. Maybe you can toss in a quick question and Bernie can catch it on the other side.
Yeah, so one of the things that news, often very important news, gets picked up only on something like the Tom Hartman. The latest thing I just heard was that the whole Treasury operations may be switched over to the Internet. And if so, does that cause you any concerns?
Yeah. Bernie, 20 seconds here.
To be honest with you, Dave, I am not familiar with that, but I think there are some, I don't know what implications, what aspects of it we're talking about, but obviously privacy issues are very important. I think, as we discussed last week, what the Bush administration may want to do is abolish the IRS, pass a national sales tax, which will mean higher taxes for the middle class and lower taxes for the very rich. That I do know.
Yeah, well said. 20 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman with you, with Congressman Bernie Sanders. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. With the continuing erosion of the middle class and the separation between the rich and poor increasing at an alarming rate as America's middle class vanishes, I refuse to lie down and watch our great democracy be replaced by a corporate aristocracy. That's why I wrote What Would Jefferson Do? A Return to Democracy. In this new book, I present a striking call to action and outline what hardworking citizens can do to win back the power we're supposed to command under the United States Constitution. Now, more than ever, we citizens must heed the wisdom of our nation's third president and the author of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson. If we are to continue to be the world's greatest nation, we must lead based on Jefferson's principles and, almost more important, we must be led by someone who understands and believes in the people, not the powerful with deep pockets. My new book, What Would Jefferson Do? A Return to Democracy, is available in bookstores everywhere.
Can you imagine a world in which all kids live healthy, safe, productive, and prosperous lives? Well, that world is within our grasp, and there's a way to reach it. It's called Ecolonomics. And to learn more, just pull up DennisWeaverNow.com and learn how to get a free report of our Ecolonomics educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Doesn't it? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost me.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. 24 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you with Congressman Bernie Sanders, our Friday afternoon brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Sanders, we've got, let's say, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number if you'd like to call in. And Ken. Ken in Warren, Michigan is on the line. Hey, Ken, welcome to the program.
All right, thank you very much. My comment is this. It seems like President Bush is and all his cohorts are trying to bring the country to a standstill, because the more that the jobs are eliminated and the ability of anybody to buy the products that are even made overseas, and any taxes that are paid by the employer when this person is working is eliminated, then everything becomes to a standstill. There's no money in the coffers, and nobody's buying anything, and that's what's going to happen if the trend keeps up, because you can see it every day. That's why the economy is bad. Nobody's buying.
Ken, you're absolutely right. I mean, Ken makes absolutely the right point. If the middle class and working people don't have any income to buy things, how do you have a good economy?
Well, it depends on how you define an economy, isn't it? I mean, if the stock market is going up, if you've got only 15% income tax on dividends, if you've got an economy where the rich are getting richer and very happily so, which we have right now, then you've got all these millionaire pundits on TV saying, gee, the economy's looking better. But, middle class gets wiped out.
Ken, you're in Michigan, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, what do you see around you? I mean, Bush says the economy is getting better. Do you believe that?
No, I don't. The economy is getting worse. Kmart Corporation is closing up stores, and they're laying off people by the thousands.
But they're making record profits.
Well, here's the point. I think Ken makes the right point. Yeah. While the Bush people are telling us how we're turning the corner, what Ken is saying for Michigan is true. It's true in Vermont. It's true all over this country. Yes, I suppose if you are a multimillionaire, the economy looks pretty good, because you're doing really well. But if you're an ordinary working person, what's happening is the jobs that the middle class have that pay decent wages, they're going to China, they're going to India. The new jobs that are being created are mostly service industry jobs that pay people low wages and terrible benefits. We have 44 million Americans now who have no health insurance. Workers, we just see this thing in United Airlines, they're going to lose their pensions. So I think Ken hits it right on the head. The middle class, the working people, are seeing a decline in their real income, and I don't know how you sustain an economy if that continues. And that's exactly what's happening.
I'd like to ask a question,
president.
Sir.
Pardon me?
What happens to people that don't have any health care, when they get sick, there's only so many hospitals in any given area that handle people that don't have any health care. And if they get sick and they need an operation, or they die, they just die. I mean, it's kind of like crowd control, if you want to call it that. But when people don't have any health insurance, nobody wants to take them for an operation that they need to save their life, so they just expire, you know?
Ken, you're right on that one, too. What we're seeing all over America, what doctors will tell you, is that the patients who are coming into their offices are much sicker than used to be the case, because if you don't have insurance, or if you have large deductibles or large copayments, you hesitate to go to the doctor. And people are walking into the doctor's office when they're very, very sick, and sometimes, you know what, they die. And that is why I think the United States should join the rest of the industrialized world and pass national health care, which guarantees health care to all people. But, Ken, thank you very, very much for your insight, because I think
you're right. And I agree with you 100% on the national health care. We need it.
Okay.
Thank you, Ken.
Badly.
Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. Bernie, we're just up against a break here, but these Swift Boat Veterans for So-Called Truth. Quick thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's the usual big lie. If you're the president of the United States, the economy is sinking, health insurance is sinking, you're the worst environmental president in history, what are you going to talk about? Well, you come up with a lie attacking the service of a brave guy who fought in Vietnam. It's fairly pathetic,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, and it's an old trick. Thank
old trick.
Yeah,
we're going to make sure that it doesn't work.
Well said. Our number 1-866-889-8894. If you'd like to be on with Congressman Bernie Sanders, 29 minutes past the hour. For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Connecticut's Attorney General is accusing Bank of America Corporation of lying during the recent merger with Fleet Bank. Attorney General Richard Blumenthal has asked the Bank of America to provide information on how Wednesday's job cuts will affect employment levels in that state. Blumenthal said that the bank promised that current employment levels in Connecticut would remain steady or possibly increase after the merger. The bank has not announced how many positions were cut, but the Boston Globe reported that the number could be upwards of 1,500.
More bad news for workers at the nation's second-largest airline. A look into the books at United's pension fund shows the carrier poured millions into risky investments that often didn't pay off. Everything from junk bonds and high-tech startups that failed to energy traders like Dynergy and El Paso Energy. United's pension assets lost about 9.5% of their total value in 2002, while the average company's fund stayed roughly even that year. As a result, United is only able to meet about half of its $13 billion in pension liabilities. The company is expected to default on its obligations to retirees in the coming months.
New rules proposed by the Department of Homeland Security could make it harder for internal critics of the Border Patrol to be vocal. Officials of the National Border Patrol Council say that the new laws make it easier for management to punish or fire employees that criticize policies. The proposed regulations allow for expedited termination of employees for national security reasons by allowing for mandatory firing offenses and elimination of arbitration.
Another person has been charged in Texas for dangerously cramming undocumented Mexican workers into a truck to illegally transport them over the U.S.-Mexico border. The latest case involves 79 immigrants, including 14 children between the ages of 3 and 17. No one was harmed, unlike last year when 19 people died from heat after a truck filled with 70 immigrants was abandoned, locked, at a South Texas truck stop. It's estimated that between 300 and 400 Mexicans die each year trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The U.S. has nearly 6.9 million people in prison, on parole, or on probation, just over 3% of the population. A recent report from the Justice Department says that more than 130,000 people were processed by the justice system in 2003. The number of people on parole or probation also increased last year, up to 4.8 million. That's a rise of 73,000 over 2002. 38% of those discharged on parole ended up back in prison by the end of the year.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. 27 minutes before the hour. It's our Friday afternoon brunch with Bernie. Congressman Bernie Sanders with us. Our number 1-866-889-8894. If you'd like to drop into our chat room, go to TomHartmann.com and just click the live chat button. The chat room is full of folks and active, great and interesting conversations going on in there. And Bernie, the lines are all lit up here. Let's take a few calls here. Ed in New Mexico, you're live with Congressman Sanders.
Yeah, I get a little tired of hearing about how the Democrats are getting beat up by the Republicans without fighting back. And here we have a veteran in, you know, John Kerry in Vietnam War was wounded three times. And I'm a Navy vet. And I hear these guys get on television talking about how he opted out on that activity. And it, you know, it's like we have a bully in the schoolyard that's getting his kicks out of beating up Americans.
He being George Bush?
Yeah, exactly, and his, yep, and his cronies. And when are we ever going to start fighting back? That's my question.
Okay. Well, that's an excellent point, Ed. And I think, to be honest with you, Kerry is doing a little bit better than Gore did, but we've got to be very strong on this issue, especially at a time when Kerry was over there. His life was on the line. And Bush was not over there. He was in the National Guard, and a lot of confusion and debate as to whether he was even AWOL. So to be attacking a guy who put his life on the line is an absolute outrage. And on top of that, it's a very funny thing. Some guy has been president of the United States for almost 4 years, and what they're doing is spending tens and tens of millions of dollars attacking the other guy. Why isn't he talking about his record? He's the president. Why isn't he talking about all the good things he's doing on health care and on the economy and on education? And you know why? Because they're not doing very much. So when you're desperate, all you could do is try to destroy the other guy. You get involved in the big lie, and people are going to have to fight back big time on this.
Yeah, it's amazing. Thanks for the call, Ed. It's amazing, Bernie. Last night on I think it was Chris Matthews, one of these Swift Boat guys, had this whole conspiracy theory that Kerry went over to Vietnam specifically to get wounded so that he could be a hero. And, I mean, you know, yeah, okay. I mean, isn't this a great career path? I think I'll go into a war zone. Let's go over to Iraq right now and go and let them shoot at me. And, oh, I've been wounded. Well, that's not enough. I got wounded again. That's not enough. It's. I mean, this is like.
Yeah, but there's a piece in the New York Times. I think it was yesterday or today, maybe. And what it shows, they did a little bit of an investigation, and to the surprise of nobody, what they find out is that these ads are connected to money coming from the Bush family, from high-profile Texas political figures, and lo and behold, President Bush's chief political aide, Karl Rove. So all of this stuff, the people who did this ad, I think, are the people who did the ad attacking Michael Dukakis.
Yep.
And Kerry is absolutely right. What Bush does, see, he has other people do his dirty work for him. If asked, oh, no, I think John Kerry served valiantly in Vietnam. And then 5 minutes later, you got the underlings attacking Kerry's patriotism and veracity.
Yeah, it's
and that is the way these guys do business. And as Ed from New Mexico said a moment ago, we can't accept that.
Yeah, it's Willie Horton all over again. I think people forget that the Willie Horton, the really toxic Willie Horton ad, was actually run by an independent group, whereas the Bush administration in 88 was running, felons are leaving, but they were much more gentle ads. And anyhow, let's go back to the phones here. Mike in Orlando, Florida is on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tom. I don't know where to go, so I'm going to give Bernie a few topics, and he can pick which one he wants to comment on. You know, since June 30th, oil has gone up 33%, and now it's at $49.33 a barrel.
Yep.
Reuters has just reported that $8.8 billion is missing in Iraq. And one thing about the convention I wanted to make a comment on, I'm afraid that the violence might be sparked by the tensions in an over-aggressive police force there. He can pick what he wants to comment on. And
okay, well, those are all good issues, Mike. Let me start off with the Republican convention. I am sure that Karl Rove and his friends want nothing more than to have weird-looking people doing violence at the Republican convention. And then Bush can get up and his friends can get up, and this is what we're protecting the American people from. So I would hope very much that those people who are going to demonstrate at the Republican convention do it in a dignified way, make your case. God only knows there's enough to be said against Bush and the Republican Party. Don't do it violently. Don't give them ammunition to use against those of us who are trying to defeat Bush. In terms of oil, a lot to be said. You know, Bush gave away some tax breaks. Some of it went to the middle class. Well, those workers are losing all of those tax breaks right away, paying $2 or more a gallon for gas. One point that I want to make on this, a lot to be said about that, but I want people to think about this one. President Bush is a great proponent of unfettered free trade. He thinks we should bring down all of the barriers. American companies want to go to China. That's just great. Funny thing, though. OPEC, the Overseas Petroleum Exporting Group, they are by definition a cartel. They are by definition an organization of oil exporters whose function in life is to control the price of oil and to regulate production. Gee, how many people have heard President Bush speak out against OPEC and demand free trade in the production of oil? Not a whole lot. Some of us in Congress are trying to do that. Second of all, of course, most importantly in terms of our current non-energy policy, is the need to break our dependency on fossil fuel, oil, coal, and to move towards sustainable energy. And that's sitting there right now, ready to happen. We can create a heck of a lot of jobs, non-polluting, and be less dependent on Middle East oil.
Yeah. Okay, Chuck. Answer your question, or Mike, answer your questions?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Okay, Mike, thanks.
Bernie, just a quick question. I had a caller before we go to Chuck in Los Alamos. I had a caller yesterday who pointed out that the price of oil, crude oil, has gone up by roughly a third in the last month, whereas the price of gas at the pump has only gone up about a ninth, about one third the rate. And typically there's a relatively close correlation. And he was wondering if the fact that we have an oil industry CEO as president, oil industry CEO as vice president, Condi Rice, national security advisor, has an oil tanker named after her, might mean that the oil industry is purposely keeping prices low and maybe even holding their breath on profits for a few months in order to keep their guy in. Yeah, because they got an $18 billion corporate welfare bill in this energy bill, you know, sitting in Congress.
That's a good thought, Tom. I just don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I don't want to speculate.
My slipping into the realm of conspiracy theory here. Okay, Chuck in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Our number, by the way, 1-866-889-8894. There are open lines if you'd like to call in. Chuck in Los Alamos, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Bernie. Hey, listen, I got two things for you. One is a quick question. Do you know Tom Udall personally fairly well?
I know Tom, yes.
Okay. He is really tough to get a hold of, and his staff's really tough to get a hold of, and we like him, and I like his voting policy, but if you run into him in the cloakroom, could you ask him to have some more town hall meetings? 'Cause
I sure will.
Thanks. And the other thing is I just got a quick question for you. You know how everybody that runs for office has got to file monetary statements on taxes and what have you?
Financial disclosure.
Yeah. Doesn't it seem like it might be a good idea to have some kind of disclosure for your military service and your educational background and everything that's all vetted?
Well, you know, financial disclosure, I think most people do make available. The media calls me up. Everybody knows, you know, I think where most members of Congress went to school and so forth and so on. But by law, you are obliged to list what your financial holdings are, how much you're worth, your debts, and so forth and so on.
I guess my question is that maybe we need to contemplate a law that requires further vetting, because I'm so sick of hearing about that Kerry did this and Bush did that. And I mean, if before you could run for public office, you had to, you know, essentially disclose your national service.
Chuck, who's going to vet it? I mean, then
I don't know.
See, I mean, if you had the Bush administration vetting people's military records right now, I mean, you might question the results, right?
Well, I don't know, Tom. I'm just tossing this out. Maybe somebody from the judiciary. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a good idea to know, as you know, in general, as much as we can honestly about what people have done for their lives. It's important. On the other hand, it's equally important to know how people stand on the issues. And in some ways, what I would say to you, Chuck, what the Bush people try to do, and with some success, I fear, is they make this, they make politics into, oh, this guy is a father and he has kids and he's a wonderful person. Yeah, but everything he is trying to do is to destroy the middle class. So I think, you know, individual understanding people and who they are is important, but equally important is to know what somebody stands for and what somebody is doing politically.
I agree with you, Bernie. Just one last point. You know, to me, knowing where they come from and what they've been through allows me to understand when they say something about an issue, what they might really mean.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. There's a lot of code talk out there.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, well said. Thank you, Chuck, for the call. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Bernie, Chuck raises an interesting point that has to do, in my mind anyway, with the with that delicate balance between First Amendment free speech rights. I mean, we all have, for example, the right to lie. Even somebody running for office should have the right to lie. If they get caught, then they're in trouble, right? And on the other hand, things like a total reform of our campaign system. For example, in the United Kingdom, if you're running for the House of Commons, you can't spend over £100,000 in the election
right.
cycle. There's an absolute limit. And you know, here I suspect the Supreme Court would say that that's a limitation on rights of free speech.
Well,
how do we reform the system?
Broadly stating, what concerns me very much, and the media, the corporate media plays a horrible role in this regard, is politics is increasingly about entertainment. You know, so you have your favorite movie stars, and I have mine, and wasn't she great, and wasn't he terrific in the last movie? It's about the individual. You know, Julia Roberts, what a great actress. Politics is different than that. What politics is supposed to be about in a democratic society is for the people to assess what are the problems, not whether this guy's nice or not nice. I mean, that's important. But what are the problems? How do we solve the problems? The middle class in America today is shrinking.
Yeah.
Not a question of whether the guy, you know, was running for president as a nice guy or not nice, even what Kerry did or didn't do 30 years ago. What are we going to do to solve the problem? How do we create good-paying jobs? How do we make sure our kids go to college? How do we have health care to all people? How do we save the pensions of older workers? Those are the issues that we have got to focus on. And what I get very concerned about is that as politics becomes entertainment, we look at the individual and the children that he has and this and that. Not that that's unimportant, but it's much more important that we focus on solving the real problems that face tens of millions of people.
Yeah, which ultimately gets back to the kinds of people who are being elected to Congress. And you know, a couple of states, Arizona and Maine, I believe, are the two states who have clean election laws now, where you've got basically state funding of candidates for state
office.
Right. And,
that's right.
And it's transformed the landscape in those states. You've got, you know, not to use a cliched sexist term, but what the heck, you know, you've got housewives running for Congress and winning. You've got guys
because
who are working in garages.
Because they're not having to spend their lives. You cannot believe the amount of time that members of Congress spend having to raise the huge amounts of money they need. And all that that means is very often you're raising money from wealthy people, from corporate interests, and you do your their bidding when you are elected. So to answer your question, yes, we need real campaign finance reform, in my view, which limits the amount of money that can be spent. Because what's happening now, increasingly, not only are people who are elected beholden to big money interests, they themselves are extremely wealthy.
Yeah.
Multi-millionaires are running for office. They make out a check to their own campaign. They're off and running, and you're moving toward an oligarchy where we're being governed by very, very wealthy people and those people who represent very wealthy people.
Yeah, they are the wealthy interests. Let's go back to the phones. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Pat in Ypsilanti, Michigan, on the line. I assume you're listening to us on WSDS there, Pat.
Yes, I am, Tom.
Great.
Hi, Tom, and hi, Bernie. Thanks for being on the show. Great to talk to you. I want to get back to minimum wage for a second. I'm all for increasing the minimum wage. My father works for a medium-sized company, and the president of his company has been known to say that if the minimum wage goes up, he's just going to move his company down to Mexico. Has anybody done any analysis about jobs that may be lost if the minimum wage goes up?
Yeah, there have been, and obviously it has to do with how high the minimum wage would go and so forth and so on. There have been a number of studies done by economists, and my memory of those studies is that there has not been job loss as a result. But, you know, what's happening, Pat, is that the truth is that many of these companies that want to go to Mexico, want to go to China, don't need any incentives to do it. They're off and running. In China, you can get hardworking people for 30, 40, 50 cents an hour. They go to jail when they try to form a union. And this whole business of our trade policy, which allows companies to go to Mexico and then bring their products back into this country tariff-free, is something that concerns me very, very much. In terms of the minimum wage today, nationally, it is at $5.15 an hour. Many states in the country have gone higher than that. The purchasing power of a minimum wage worker at $5.15 an hour is back to where we were some 20 or 25 years ago. It's quite low. And in my view, we have got to raise the minimum wage.
I mean, demand-side economics just makes the most sense to me.
Yeah,
you know, give people money and they're going to spend it.
Then they're going to go out and spend it. That's correct.
Yeah, and Bernie, Bernie, two quick things. Number one, wouldn't we have to just combine this with a rational trade policy that levels the field for labor? And two, I just found these statistics. We created the minimum wage in 1938. It was raised in 57, 63, and 96. If you look at the inflation figures, in 1957, inflation was at 3.38%. At the end of that year, we increased the minimum wage. The next year, 58, inflation went down. By 1959, inflation was down less than 1%. It started creeping back up again in the mid-60s. We raised the minimum wage again in 63. Again, inflation dropped. Again, in 96, we raised it. Again, inflation dropped from 2.96 to 1.51. Every time we raise the minimum wage, inflation actually goes down. So that's good news, I guess. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders 10 minutes before the hour. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Tom Hartman will be speaking out in Santa Fe, New Mexico with We the People, a call to take back America, a Friday evening talk August 27th at the Santa Fe Armory for the Arts, to be followed by a Saturday, August 28th workshop called Waking Up to Personal and Global Transformation. Tom Hartman brings his wit, wisdom, and intelligence to Santa Fe the weekend of August 27th and 28th. Tom Hartman will discuss with us how America faces its greatest threat since a civil war, and Tom Hartman will look at how Western thinking, legends, and myths have caused global problems and endangered democracy and what we can do about it. To get your tickets and more information, call 505-988-2223 in Santa Fe. That's 505-988-2223 or visit greatmystery.org. Tickets for Tom Hartman are also available at Collected Works Bookstore in Santa Fe.
It's time for This Billionaire Moment.
When you look at a forest, do you see pretty flowers and cute little critters hopping around? Well, when we billionaires look at a forest, we see redwood decks, teak furniture, and reams of bleached white paper. We look at all the untapped natural resources available, and we see opportunity where others can't see the forest for the trees. Aren't you bored of tree huggers whining about the precious old growth forests? Don't they understand the law of supply and demand? The more trees we clear-cut, the more scarce we make them, and the more valuable they become as a commodity. So the next time you hear the buzz of chainsaws, know the billionaires are giving Mother Nature more bang for her buck. I'm Zena Fope for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Kick up the billionaire!
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
From uneducated laughingstock to government minister, an African woman's story of courage. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Frances Moore LePay met a lot of courageous people while researching her book, Hope's Edge, but few were as inspiring as Wangari Maathai, an uneducated young woman concerned about the loss of forests in her East African country of Kenya.
Here's a woman who in 1977 planted 7 trees on Earth Day, and her vision was tree planting throughout her country of Kenya because of the loss of the forest there. The government said unschooled village women can't plant trees. It takes foresters to do that. Well, she started a village movement of tree planting and has succeeded in 20 million trees being planted and surviving in Kenya through nurseries run by unschooled village women.
LePay tells Maathai's story in her new book called You Have the Power. She describes how Maathai's tree planting program drew the unwelcome attention of Kenya's dictator, Daniel Arap Moi. The young woman was ridiculed, beaten, and imprisoned for her efforts. But things have changed. Democratic elections in 2002 brought in a new government headed by the National Rainbow Coalition. LePay says Wangari Maathai is now part of the new power structure.
And here, a woman who had been jailed and beaten by the Moi government is now the deputy minister for the environment in the new government and helping to write a new constitution for Kenya.
LePay says Maathai is a person of unusual courage and persistence, and her story can serve as an inspiration to others fighting an uphill battle to protect the environment.
When we were there in Kenya, her message was that she didn't know that she could succeed. Her message was that she just kept walking.
That's Frances Moore LePay, author of You Have the Power. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. 5 minutes before the hour. Bernie, we've had three calls come in during the break here, and we've only got about 3 minutes, so we're going to take
them real quick. Okay, let's take them as quick
as possible. Okay, Lois in Grand Rapids, Michigan, you're on the line. Hey, Lois. If you're listening to your radio, there's a slight delay. Okay, we're going to move along here. Let's try Ann in Sarasota, Florida. Hey, Ann. Whoa, that's strange. Ann? Okay, let's try Kevin in Tampa, Florida. Maybe my phone lines have gone bad. Oh, that's so weird. Bernie, are you still there?
I'm still.
Hello.
Yeah, who's that?
This is Lois from Grand Rapids.
Oh, Lois in Grand Rapids. I was pushing the wrong buttons. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I just dumped two callers. Okay, Lois, you're on the air.
Okay, Lois?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a quick question.
Sure.
Yesterday on Sean Hannity's radio show, he was talking about this memo that he got, all these points that the protesters, the Democrats, were going to do at the Republican convention.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody ever thought that the Republicans will do this and say they're Democrats?
Oh, yes. That idea
has occurred
to many people. But I think the bottom line is that anybody who goes there and who engages in violence is in many ways working on behalf of the Republicans, even if they're not Republicans. One should make one protest. God only knows there's enough to protest about. But do it in a dignified, nonviolent way, or else you're playing into the hands of the Republicans, who will be saying to America, you see, those are the people that we are protecting you from.
There you go.
So I would hope that anyone who goes there makes your case, and there's enough to be made, but do it in a nonviolent, intelligent way.
Good point, Lois. Thanks for the call. Ann in Sarasota's back on the line. Hey, Ann, welcome.
Hi, real quick, question for Bernie on financial disclosures. I have a real problem when people such as the president have their funds in blind trusts. How do we know what's actually in those trusts if they're companies that are being benefited by, say, Halliburton going to war or things like that? And I have a real problem with being actual blind trust that Bush doesn't know what's going on with his trust fund, that somebody doesn't have a chat offline with him about that. I'd like to know Bernie's feelings.
That's a good point. The theory of the blind trust is that he's not going to make any decisions which will personally benefit him, but if you give the blind trust to certain investors, you can have a pretty good idea where they are investing. I think the problem is a lot of these guys who have a whole lot of money, it would not occur to them in a million years not to be investing in companies that do all kinds of things that many of us are not happy with. So I have nothing profound to say, but that is a problem when these guys have zillions of dollars and they're put away in blind trust.
Yeah, good one, Ann. Congressman Sanders, Bernie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Okay, good to be with you.
It is always so great for this Brunch with Bernie segment. I truly appreciate it. Thank you, Bernie.
Okay, Tom.
See you next week. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
The Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-505-1546. That's 800-505-1546. For new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now. 800-
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Connecticut's Attorney General is accusing Bank of America Corporation of lying during the recent merger with Fleet Bank. Attorney General Richard Blumenthal has asked the Bank of America to provide information on how Wednesday's job cuts will affect employment levels in that state. Blumenthal said that the bank promised that current employment levels in Connecticut would remain steady or possibly increase after the merger. The bank has not announced how many positions were cut, but the Boston Globe reported that the number could be upwards of 1,500.
More bad news for workers at the nation's second-largest airline. A look into the books at United's pension fund shows the carrier poured millions into risky investments that often didn't pay off. Everything from junk bonds and high-tech startups that failed to energy traders like Dynergy and El Paso Energy. United's pension assets lost about 9.5% of their total value in 2002, while the average company's fund stayed roughly even that year. As a result, United is only able to meet about half of its $13 billion in pension liabilities. The company is expected to default on its obligations to retirees in the coming months.
New rules proposed by the Department of Homeland Security could make it harder for internal critics of the Border Patrol to be vocal. Officials of the National Border Patrol Council say that the new laws make it easier for management to punish or fire employees that criticize policies. The proposed regulations allow for expedited termination of employees for national security reasons by allowing for mandatory firing offenses and elimination of arbitration.
Another person has been charged in Texas for dangerously cramming undocumented Mexican workers into a truck to illegally transport them over the U.S.-Mexico border. The latest case involves 79 immigrants, including 14 children between the ages of 3 and 17. No one was harmed, unlike last year when 19 people died from heat after a truck filled with 70 immigrants was abandoned, locked, at a South Texas truck stop. It's estimated that between 300 and 400 Mexicans died each year trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The U.S. has nearly 6.9 million people in prison, on parole, or on probation, just over 3% of the population. A recent report from the Justice Department says that more than 130,000 people were processed by the justice system in 2003. The number of people on parole or probation also increased last year, up to 4.8 million. That's a rise of 73,000 over 2002. 38% of those discharged on parole ended up back in prison by the end of the year.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You put in 30 years at the company. You got good pay, health care. Then they send your job overseas. And under George Bush, the company actually gets a tax break for doing it. Now, Bush says we're in recovery. Then after a year, you finally land another job, and you wonder, is this what you worked your whole life for? We're not being led. We're being misled.
Suppose an amendment was proposed to give corporations a constitutional right to buy our government with their big money donations to politicians. Wouldn't you fight such an arrogant power grab? Well, gird yourself, for an amendment that does exactly that has been proposed, not in Washington, but in Arizona. This is one of six states where voters have approved clean election laws that provide public funds for candidates who agree to accept no special interest money. Not only is this public alternative popular with candidates of all political parties, since they no longer have to spend endless hours kissing corporate butts to be able to run for office, but it also works. In Arizona, for example, 9 of the 11 statewide officials, including the governor, and a third of the legislature, have been elected without taking a dime from the corporate powers, thus owing nothing to them. This has, of course, infuriated the old power clique, which is used to buying these officials and running things. So assorted corporate interests have put up hundreds of thousands of dollars to put a constitutional amendment on the Arizona ballot this fall that bans the use of public funds for clean elections, forcing the state back to the bad old days of corporate-funded and corporate-controlled politicians. The people of Arizona, however, are fighting back with a Keep It Clean campaign to defeat this big-money power grab, and they need our help. To battle the $10,000 and $20,000 checks that all of the corporate fat cats are putting up, they need us alley cats from all over America to chip in $5 each to keep Arizona clean. We need to spread clean elections, not kill them, and Arizona is the place for all democracy fighters to take a stand. This is Jim Hightower saying, Abe Lincoln, who said we should have a government of, by, and for the people, is pictured on a $5 bill. To support that ideal, send your own Abe to Arizona. To donate $5, call 602-364-3477.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
I'm Jim Hightower, and I've approved this message.
Jim Hightower is not running for office, but he is back this campaign season with an important word about the regime of King George the W.
Let's stop beating around the bush. These people are nuts.
Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush is Hightower's hilarious new best-selling book, offering you unvarnished facts, insight, and humor to get you through this year's political spin cycle. Buy Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush today and make politics fun again. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy it today.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, friends. Boy, a wild time in our chat room here. You might want to drop it. You can go to TomHartman.com and just click live chat. It'll take you over to the Democratic Forum on CompuServe. And click the chat link, the Tom Hartman program, and it'll drop you in. We even have Zen Kimchi in there. It's going on 2 o'clock in the morning in South Korea, where he is located. And nice to see you there, Joe, and all the other folks in the chat room. Anyhow, welcome back to our program. A little problem that John Kerry has right now. He can't get intelligence information from the Bush administration. Going back to before the Eisenhower administration, It has been standard operating procedure for the government to provide the daily intelligence briefs that the president gets to the guy who's running for president from the opposite party. You just do that. so that, you know, they don't make any kind of stupid claims or wild. Yeah, I mean, you're assuming that both of these people are sufficiently rational that they're not going to compromise American security. One of them is going to end up president of the United States. And it's been done. It's always been done. Well, now the Bush administration says they can't get the information to John Kerry because it is, quote, nearly impossible logistically to give the necessary presidential-level intelligence briefings to Kerry since he's outside of Washington, D.C., end quote. Apparently, it's a considerable drain on our intelligence resources, especially, as John in D.C. notes here, especially on America Blog, Blogspot, especially at this time of high threat. Now, this is really fascinating. They're saying they can't get easily the daily intelligence brief, you know, a two-page summary, three-page summary. They can't get this out of Washington, D.C. on a daily basis. And if that's true, which has never been the case before, by the way, but if that's true, you have to wonder. George Bush is in Crawford, Texas right now. 515 days since he took office, he has spent on vacation. As the Washington Post noted, this is Bush's 33rd visit to his ranch since becoming president. Actually, that was back in April. This must be his 34th or 35th. He has spent all or part of 233 days on his Texas ranch since taking office, according to a tally by CBS News. Adding his 78 visits to Camp David and his 5 visits to Kennebunkport, Maine, Mr. Bush has spent all or part of 500 days in office at one of his 3 retreats, or more than 40% of his presidency. Now, you know, maybe it's true that you can't get intelligence to him, and that's why on August 6th, when he got the intelligence briefing that said Osama bin Laden determined to strike inside the United States, a guy whose name George Bush has only mentioned 10 times since then, 6 of them in answer to direct questions. And it could be that that's why, as soon as he got that intelligence brief, he just decided to take the longest vacation in the history of the American presidency, ending up down in Florida. He said, I'm not going back to Washington, D.C. Are you kidding? He's determined to strike. Since April 9th, Bush has spent all or part of 15 more days, at either Camp David, Kennebunkport, or his Crawford Ranch. This brings his total vacation days to 517 out of 1,307 days since he's been president, including today, or just over 39% of his presidency. But wait a minute, you say. Wherever he goes, he's got the Secret Service with him. He's got information. He's got... Well, I've seen more than a few fishing trips and golfing trips and going out and cutting brush and photo ops and, well, I'm not going to begrudge the president a vacation. I just wonder about his begrudging Americans, not just vacations, but things like overtime pay. And then at the same time that he's out of town so much, saying, you know, we just can't get information, intelligence information, to anybody who's not in Washington, D.C., to anybody who's out of town. Something stinks here. Along the same something stinks lines, you will recall 2 or 3 months ago, those of you who are regular listeners to this program, there were several articles in the newspaper. John Kerry had actually, and I don't recall if this was after he had sewn up the nomination or if it was while he was still going head-to-head with the other guys. It was right around that time, anyway, a couple months ago. John Kerry had said that he would release some of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in order to drive down gasoline prices in the United States when oil prices are at an all-time high around the world. And George Bush instead said, oh, no, we can't do that. That would be dangerous to our security, and instead was pumping oil into the National Petroleum Reserve at a rate that had never before been seen, filling tanks, filling salt mines, filling old oil wells, just buying as much oil as the United States government could find all over the world, soaking up the excess oil, which in and of itself was helping drive up prices, by the way, and pumping it into the Strategic Reserve. And he's continuing to. He's doing that right up until now. But today's Wall Street Journal in an article by John Harwood, suggests that George Bush may do exactly what I predicted 3 months ago. What I had said on this program was that Bush is going to pump oil into the reserve and thus help drive up oil prices and stash away as much oil as he can so that in September and the first few weeks of October, because there's a lag time from the time oil is released until it turns into gasoline and gas prices start dropping, lag time of a few weeks, starting in early September, certainly mid-September at the very worst, he's going to start releasing, he's going to stop filling the strategic reserve, which will reduce worldwide demand and lessen oil prices, and then he's going to start releasing that reserve into the United States and drive down gasoline prices just in time for the election. And, of course, the White House was saying at the time, this a few months ago, oh, we would never do anything like that. Well, here, John Harwood's column, Washington Wire, in today's Wall Street Journal. Top story, oil spill, White House may be more willing to tap reserves. Administration officials say their policy, as before, is to tap the Strategic Petroleum Reserve only for a serious supply disruption, not to curb record high prices for political gain. But, quote, less spare capacity than a year and a quarter ago is a material fact, end quote, in determining if a future disruption is serious, one official says. Another adds that the idea Bush aides would never tap the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is a misconception. See, they're getting ready. He says, so far no release appears in the works. Give them a few weeks. Clinton did this, by the way, in 2000. I mean, this isn't like it's a new trick, right? Clinton did this in 2000, and the Republicans took this thing and beat Al Gore over the head with it, and it actually hurt him in the polls that Clinton was trying to manipulate gas prices to help Gore get elected. I mean, this is a major story for a week or two. And so it's going to be really interesting to see if Bush's activities along the same line bring about similar effects. Our telephone number, 1-866-889-8894. The website, tomhartmann.com. We have a regular newsletter, no cost. We don't sell our mailing list or share it with anybody. You can also sign up for our newsletter, although if you have signed up, it's been a while since I've sent one out. We've got to get around to that. We've got to get another one out here pretty quickly. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Let's see here. Rick in Grand Rapids, Michigan's on the line. Hey, Rick, what's up?
Well, I wanted to comment on the Swift Vote Veterans Group.
Yes. Swift Vote Veterans for Nonsense.
I wasn't going to say for truth because I don't think there's too much here. Yeah. And, you know, the fact that they're veterans doesn't necessarily mean they couldn't be political hacks. But this guy Thurlow that they exposed yesterday, and even some of the talking heads on television that tend to be a little more conservative, were really putting him on the grill, you know. And I guess the salient point for me was that it actually said on his commendation or medal or whatever that he was under enemy fire. And he says, oh, that was just based upon what John Kerry said. So in other words, this man for 35 years did not reveal that when he was commended and given a medal or whatever for suffering under fire, that he didn't disavow that until now. And now he's actually going to blame John Kerry for saying that he, Mr. Thurlow, was under fire when he really wasn't?
Yeah, it's a little over the top. You know, when you get a medal, you get a copy of the commendation, you know, why you deserve the medal. And right. And so, you know, 30-some-odd years ago, he gets this piece of paper that says that he got a medal for bravery under fire. Why didn't he say something at the time? Why didn't he say, well, you know, really, we weren't under fire, guys?
And then the other thing is about Kerry is that they mentioned that he got a commendation from Secretary Lehman, who was a Reagan appointee, a Republican. He was on the 9/11 commission, and that this commendation that Kerry got years later was much more adulatory than the one before. So now I guess they're going to question the veracity of Secretary Lehman, who I guess was a pretty conservative Republican. So it just seems like these people are just so desperate. They'll slime anybody. I mean, John McCain, a hero like Kerry, just anybody.
It's very simple. The Bush administration has a record to run from, not to run on. They've destroyed jobs in the United States. They're harming the economy, the environment, the ecology.
Why isn't Bush in the polls? Why isn't he losing in a landslide?
Well, frankly, I think it's because the Democrats have decided, and I think it's a mistake. I think they're making the same mistake Dukakis did. They've decided to be nice. They've decided to highlight their positives rather than going after Bush's negatives.
Well, I think Kerry was fighting back yesterday, though.
Finally. finally. But it didn't. You know, he didn't have the really hard biting sound bites like.
Well, when he says to Mr. Bush, and of course, what this amounts to is, you want to compare our records. I was under fire in Vietnam, and you were in the Texas National Guard, and you took some time off. That's, he can hit on that, really.
Right, but he didn't. He didn't say that. He just said, bring it on.
No, I know he didn't.
As far as I know. I think
that's a warning, though. If you keep this up, I will go there.
Yeah. I think the time for warning is weeks past, Rick. It just baffles me why this guy isn't just kicking butt and taking names. It just, I hope he does soon. I really do.
Have you discussed the fact that both these guys are in the Skull and Bones Secret Society? Have you discussed that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've discussed it at length, in fact. We did a whole show on the Skull and Bones.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, that one was like 4 months ago or something. But, the bottom line is nobody knows enough about what either of them did then or have done since or even the significance of it because it is such a secret society. So.
Well, I think the really important point here is, and I would support Kerry over Bush, but I think the point here is, should major party candidates for president be members of a secret society? I say no.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's the question which raises the second question, which is Skull and Bones like some sort of really nasty secret society, or is it simply essentially a fraternity for rich college kids to build the network upon which they will make their money in their later years, which is a very common thing. You know, people go to the very best colleges, they hook up with people who are very wealthy, and then when they need a job, they've got an old boy network. It's like creating an instant old boy network. Is that what it's all about, or is it about something really nefarious? I suspect, frankly, that's all it is. But, who knows? Rick, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Got a couple of other callers here. Hang on. We'll pick you up on the other side of the break. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. With the continuing erosion of the middle class and the separation between the rich and poor increasing at an alarming rate as America's middle class vanishes, I refuse to lie down and watch our great democracy be replaced by a corporate aristocracy. That's why I wrote What Would Jefferson Do? A Return to Democracy. In this new book, I present a striking call to action and outline what hardworking citizens can do to win back the power we're supposed to command under the United States Constitution. Now, more than ever, we citizens must heed the wisdom of our nation's third president and the author of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson. If we are to continue to be the world's greatest nation, we must lead based on Jefferson's principles and, almost more important, we must be led by someone who understands and believes in the people, not the powerful with deep pockets. My new book, What Would Jefferson Do? A Return to Democracy, is available in bookstores everywhere.
Can you imagine a world in which all kids live healthy, safe, productive, and prosperous lives? Well, that world is within our grasp, and there's a way to reach it. It's called Econonomics. And to learn more, just pull up DennisWeaverNow.com and learn how to get a free report of our Econonomics educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Now, it's time for This Billionaire Moment.
The recent handover of power back to the Iraqis has got investors worried. They ask, what about our war profiteering? Will we still be able to privatize everything in sight? Darlings, everything is under control because everything is still under our control. Alawi has been a wonderful CIA asset for years. Ambassador John Negroponte cut his teeth working with death squads out of Honduras in the 80s, and 140,000 American troops are protecting our oil as we pump it out from under their soil. We won't let this business bonanza be ruined by the evils of accountability or democracy. So relax. We know what we're doing. I'm Zena Fogg for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Here come the billionaires!
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
And who's gonna pay the bill? Who's gonna pay the bill? Not Rush Limbaugh, not George Will, not those chicken hawks on Capitol Hill, not the tax cut billionaires. You know the drill.
Now it's going to be you and me going to pay the bill. Welcome back. 24 and a half minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number. Is the world's oil running out? I would say so. You'll also recall about 2 months ago I suggested that we would see $50 a barrel oil before the end of this year. It looks like we're closing in on it. Let's go to the phone lines. Chris in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Well, you know, there's one thing that you're missing with them pumping back our oil back into the strategic reserves.
What's that?
And that is that, I don't know if you've heard of what they call high angular drilling and extreme lateral drilling.
Yeah, I have.
So at Kettleman Hills, some Halliburton and some other, I think, Exxon Mobil, basically is drilling into the reserves that we're pumping back in out of Iraq. And so basically, we're replenishing what they're drilling.
Wait a minute. Now, for our listeners, one of the things that created the border conflict between Saddam and Kuwait back in 91 was that Saddam was drilling diagonally from his own territory under, you know, diagonally at an angle under the border and tapping into Kuwaiti oil.
And that's exactly what's happening. We've got oil leases outside of Kettleman.
Actually, I think it was the other way around. I think it was the Kuwaitis were drilling angularly into Saddam. So you're suggesting that American oil companies are slant drilling into the salt caves that we are filling up with oil for the strategic reserve?
Yep. That's correct.
That's an incredible charge, Chris. I've never heard that.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. If you happen to be, you know where Kettleman Hills is in California?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, it's in the Central Valley, and if you happen to go there, that's where one of the main strategic reserves is. And if you happen to go there, you will notice that there is a phenomenal drilling operation that's going on about 60 miles north of the strategic reserve.
Hmm.
Look.
That's incredible. Chris, if you can find any documentation on that at all, would you email it to me?
Sure.
I'd appreciate it. Tom at TomHartman.com. Thanks, Chris. That's mind-boggling. I appreciate the call. 1-866-889-8894. Alan in Indianapolis is on the line. Hey, Alan.
Yes, I remember the guy who was an expert on mythology, Joseph Campbell.
Yes, sir.
And he gave a definition of a hero. And he said a hero would go to war and fight for his country, but he also said a hero would protest against the war.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, what category does George W. Bush fall under?
Yeah. Well, I, you know, in my opinion, George W. Bush is a coward, frankly. I mean, that's the word I would attach to him. And those who, and then you say that, and of course you get roundly attacked, and there I would say, I would quote John Kennedy, without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed and no republic can survive. You know, Teddy Roosevelt said it's the most patriotic thing you can do is challenge your president. And this one, I think, needs some serious challenging. Good point, Alan. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
1-866-889-8894. Jim in Santa Fe, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'd like to talk to you for a minute about Dick Cheney as a businessman.
Yes.
You know, I just think it's time to take a sharp look at that because he's given a lot of credit for being smart, for being the brains behind the Bush administration. And as a businessman myself, I got to tell you, if he worked for my company, I'd fire this son of a gun.
Yeah.
Consider this. First of all, he led Dresser Industries into buying, he led Halliburton into buying Dresser Industries and along with it all of their asbestos liabilities.
Right.
Even Lawrence Eichelberger, who was a Secretary of State under Father Bush and was on the board of Halliburton, said this was done, quote, without due diligence.
Yeah, it was an insane move. And then when the reality of this was settling in, Cheney started selling stock and unloading. I mean, you know, insider trading stuff.
Okay, Jim, that's a major one. I have three more.
Okay, well, Jim, let me put you on hold. I'll let you pick the other ones up on the other side of this break. 29 minutes past the hour.
For more than 27 years, the progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Connecticut's Attorney General is accusing Bank of America Corporation of lying during the recent merger with Fleet Bank. Attorney General Richard Blumenthal has asked the Bank of America to provide information on how Wednesday's job cuts will affect employment levels in that state. Blumenthal said that the bank promised that current employment levels in Connecticut would remain steady or possibly increase after the merger. The bank has not announced how many positions were cut, but the Boston Globe reported that the number could be upwards of 1,500.
More bad news for workers at the nation's second-largest airline. A look into the books at United's pension fund shows the carrier poured millions into risky investments that often didn't pay off. Everything from junk bonds and high-tech startups that failed to energy traders like Dynergy and El Paso Energy. United's pension assets lost about 9.5% of their total value in 2002, while the average company's funds stayed roughly even that year. As a result, United is only able to meet about half of its $13 billion in pension liabilities. The company is expected to default on its obligations to retirees in the coming months.
New rules proposed by the Department of Homeland Security could make it harder for internal critics of the Border Patrol to be vocal. Officials of the National Border Patrol Council say that the new laws make it easier for management to punish or fire employees that criticize policies. The proposed regulations allow for expedited termination of employees for national security reasons by allowing for mandatory firing offenses and elimination of arbitration.
Another person has been charged in Texas for dangerously cramming undocumented Mexican workers into a truck to illegally transport them over the U.S.-Mexico border. The latest case involves 79 immigrants, including 14 children between the ages of 3 and 17. No one was harmed, unlike last year when 19 people died from heat after a truck filled with 70 immigrants was abandoned, locked, at a South Texas truck stop. It's estimated that between 300 and 400 Mexicans die each year trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The U.S. has nearly 6.9 million people in prison, on parole, or on probation, just over 3% of the population. A recent report from the Justice Department says that more than 130,000 people were processed by the justice system in 2003. The number of people on parole or probation also increased last year, up to 4.8 million. That's a rise of 73,000 over 2002. 38% of those discharged on parole ended up back in prison by the end of the year.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Look out, George Bush is coming with his backdoor draft. That's what's going on. 27 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here back with you. Ellen Radner of the Talk Radio News Service is on the line with our daily report from Washington, D.C. Hey, Ellen, what's up?
Well, I think the new controversy has gotten even hotter. There's a new Swift boat ad out. It is 1 minute long. It shows the Kerry testifying in 1971, saying that they engaged in war crimes, that various soldiers raped, cut off ears, etc. It has one of the Swift boat vets saying, "This hurt me more than any physical pain." However, on Meet the Press, he said, this is Senator Kerry, said that it reflected the times, and he doesn't like what he heard today. He said he thought it was honest but over the top, and reflected his anger at the time. But the Swift boat vets, as you know, have been very effective in terms of influencing that independent voter, which is between 5% and 10% in some of those swing states. So this new ad is a sort of a continuing thousand cuts of trying to do the Kerry campaign devastation.
Yeah, it's like being pecked to death by baby ducks. You know, it's
well, let's hope it's only baby ducks.
Yeah.
Also today, there was a very interesting conference call with Senator Schumer, and he said that the Bush administration has stood still while oil prices approach $50 a barrel and now totally threaten the U.S. economy. He said that the administration has a hands-off, let-whatever-happens relationship to oil. Perhaps, he said, attributed the cozy relationship that the Bush administration has with the Saudis. And he said that Bush does not have any kind of policy on this. He also said that OPEC is currently at or near capacity, or so they say, but no one really knows particularly what the oil production of the Saudis is or what they have the capacity for. And then he also said that that the Bush administration has basically contributed to high oil prices by creating a psychology which pushes the prices higher. And he said the Bush administration has made no effort to support or look for alternative methods of producing energy. He also said that the Bush administration has not created a unity with other governments, and that this brave new world in terms of the war on terror has led to what he calls an increase in the terror premium with major oil-producing countries. It's an exact quote on that one.
Yeah.
So he had this press conference today, and it was devastating.
This is Chuck Schumer. Ellen, we were just talking about this, in fact, on the air just 15 minutes ago. I was pointing out in today's Wall Street Journal, there's an article by John Harwood, about how George Bush has been about how George Bush has been saying that he won't unleash the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which would drive down oil prices as a political tool, the way that Clinton was accused of doing in 2000 to help Al Gore. And yet it looks like all of a sudden now the administration is saying, well, you know, we have a problem here. Maybe we should do this. It's something that Kerry called for actually a couple months ago. And if Bush was to do, but the bigger issue in my mind, and I'm wondering if anybody in Washington is pointing this out, out is that Bush, over the last 4 months, has been buying oil so fast, faster than ever before in the United States, to fill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And that activity in and
that
of itself...
That alone has driven up prices, I think, nickel or something?
Go. Yeah, it's who knows? I mean, it's at least, I mean, that may be the effect on oil, on gasoline prices. I mean, who knows what it's doing to oil prices? I mean,
we asked the White House when this first sort of started surfacing, why doesn't he at least cut off the current replacement for the oil reserves? And he won't do it.
No, he's filling them as fast as he can, in my opinion, so that probably the first or second week of September, he can stop buying and start selling from the oil reserves, which will drive the price of oil down at least $10, $15 a barrel almost instantly, and drive down the price of gasoline. More importantly, actually, it probably won't have that big an impact on the price of oil worldwide. But here in the United States, it'll drive down the price of gasoline, because when he sells the Strategic Petroleum Reserve oil, he can sell it at any price he wants to the oil companies in the United States to convert to gasoline.
Right. So that's part of a problem right now that the Bush administration is going to have to answer. And people like Charles Schumer, Chucky Schumer, as we like to call him in Washington, are, you know, going to hold his feet to the fire on that one. Also, the Democratic National Committee today, using Tom Harkin, announced a Americans Can Do Better tour. 15 cities, they said they want to give Americans another option on the ballot. It's going to include election, it's a bus tour, elected officials, and Harkin said today, Senator Harkin said, people who voted for Bush. He said, Bush has taken America for a ride, and they're going to have this bus tour, and it's going to end at the Republican convention. I know you'll be there to greet it.
Ah, yes. What? Yeah, I will be, actually. Great fun. So it sounds like things are hopping in Washington, D.C.
I mean, this was supposed to be, you know, my 2 or 3 weeks off of quiet time in Washington. And, of course, there's been 9/11 hearings almost every day. And there has also been all of this Swift boat controversy.
Yeah, remarkable. Well, Ellen Ratner from the Talk Radio News Service, thank you for the call and thanks for the tips and the information.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too, Ellen. Talk to you next week. Always great to hear from you. It's the Tom Hartman program, 21 minutes before the hour. Now let's go back to Jim in Santa Fe, New Mexico, who was talking about the wonders of Dick Cheney as a corporate CEO. Jim, you still there?
Well, you know, what I really wonder is why there isn't just a great deal more publicity on this. I think John Edwards better quit being so nice and get out there and take this guy on, because not only did he wreck Halliburton early on with his acquisition of the Dresser Industries asbestos liabilities. But look what's come out in recent weeks. The Army has been protesting, paying $100 a bundle for laundry, but they're going to pay anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now, 2 weeks ago, we had a big announcement that Halliburton's being cited for accounting irregularities under Cheney that inflated profits. And yeah, they're going to be fined for that.
Yeah.
And then I think the big bubble that's going to burst one of these days is that $800 million was written off from Halliburton earnings in the present year, actually is in the first half, because of an oil venture off Brazil that didn't work out. That's exactly the period when huge profits should have been rolling into Halliburton from the U.S. military. And I'll just bet you, and I don't want you to think I'm cynical, but I'll just bet you that whatever happens on November the 2nd, sometime in the foreseeable future, Halliburton will say, oh, gosh, it's working okay in Brazil. Let's reinstate that $800 million.
Yeah.
And, of course, that added to their huge warmongering profits out of Iraq is going to make a great surge in earnings for Halliburton, just in time for Dick Cheney to get full benefit.
Yeah, and Cheney is getting, you know, a couple $100,000 a year from Halliburton, or up to a million dollars a year right now from Halliburton. Plus, he's
right.
Got options on hundreds of thousands of shares of stock. And can you imagine? I mean, they went after Bill Clinton for the Whitewater land deal, which had happened 30 years earlier and on which he lost $34,000. And they said, you know, this was a corrupt deal, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it was like this little $300,000 land deal. And here, I mean, this... And Clinton wasn't even getting anything from it when he was in office. I mean, it had happened before he was governor of Arkansas. And the double standard
of the Republicans, the conservatives, let's say, because Zell Miller's in that bunch as well, in Washington, D.C., is absolutely boggling to me.
Well, they're right-wing radicals, and they're largely crooks, frankly.
Yeah.
I want to introduce a new phrase here that I wish more people would use, and that is that people like Dick Cheney are practitioners of unenlightened self-interest.
Unenlightened.
They may get a zillion bucks in their pocket for the next 5 years, but what's going to happen to their grandchildren who are living under gray, smoky skies? And so forth and so on. These people have no longer vision whatsoever. They are the greatest practitioners of unenlightened self-interest I have ever seen.
Yeah, it really and truly, Teapot Dome was a tiny thing. You know, Albert Fall, helping a few of his friends get oil leases. It was nothing compared to this.
You're quite right.
You know, the war profiteering under Ulysses S. Grant, the corruption with the railroads, the railroad bribery scandals, they were nothing compared to what's going on now.
Tom, I'm wondering, can anything be done to get a look at the investment portfolio of the Carlyle Group?
No, because it's a private corporation, and corporations have been claiming since 1886 the rights of persons under the Bill of Rights, which includes the Fourth Amendment right of privacy. Now, your financial records, according to new rulings because of the Patriot Act by the Justice Department, your financial records can be bought and sold by private corporations, and you have no say over it. But a corporation can keep that stuff secret.
Well, don't you just know that they're full of military and oil-related investments?
Carlyle? Oh, yeah. I mean, they were pretty upfront about that years ago, that they were investing in the defense industry. I mean, you know, it's no secret. It's no secret.
Well, I just think that people ought to get Cheney out and dust him off and hold him up and show the guy for what he really is.
Yeah, well, hopefully that'll happen, and I'll be continuing to do my best to do that. Jim, thanks
for
the call.
You will. Listen, I have one final little tiny thing here.
Sure.
I read somewhere that Colin Powell has $1 million in Lockheed stock.
I don't know about that.
Do you believe that? I mean, where did a soldier get that kind of money?
Well, you know, before he became Secretary of State, he was on the board of directors of AOL Time Warner and a significant stockholder thereof, and which is one of the largest media combines in the world, and now his son is the head of the FCC. What's happened is you've got this incredible revolving door. Sam Nunn, for example, on the Democratic side, after he left the Senate, he's now on the board of directors of a bunch of major corporations, and these guys make big bucks doing that. If you want to see a truly startling bit of information on the web, go to www.theyrule.net. And you can see all the interlocking boards of directors and who the directors are and what's going on with all this stuff.
I'll do it, Tom. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate the call. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, 15 minutes before the hour. The Tom Hartman Program here with you. And Bill in Waterbury, Vermont is on the line. Hey, Bill, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
What's up?
Listen, I caught the first part of the Bernie Sanders discussion that you had a little while ago.
Yeah.
And I think you guys were missing the target on this discussion. And what I'd like to point out is what we have formed here in the United States is now the new modern plantation.
Oh, yeah. This is very much the conservative agenda, is taking us back to the time, to feudalism. I mean, you know, historically there were three forms of rule of human beings. There was rule by warlord kings, there was rule by theocratic popes and mullahs, you know, theocracies, and there was a period that was probably the most stable, actually, of all three, which was called feudalism, which is rule by the rich.
Yeah.
And in 1776, they rose up and they said, we won't have anything to do with any three of these. We're going to go for rule by we the people. And Bush administration is hell-bent for leather on absolutely reversing that process and taking us back to feudalism. And they're using warlord practices and theocratic practices to bring it about.
Well, it's not only the Bush administration. Now, you got to understand now, it's both the Democrats and the Republicans in Congress who have made these laws, rules, and regulations in order to move us to that agenda. You know, what's moving us to that agenda is the transfer of power to the corporations, globalizations, monopolization of all business by the corporations. I mean, there is no room left in the United States for an independent businessman to survive.
Oh, I know.
At best, independent businessmen are thrown a bone by the corporations to subcontract some of the work, and that's the only mechanism. The corner store on the corner is no longer owned by an independent man running it for his family. It's owned by the probably a Shell or an Exxon or an independent guy who's really just pushing Shell and Exxon and all of the products of a corporation, be it donuts or whatever.
Yeah.
Donuts and coffee. But so
you know where this started?
East Americans there? Being pigeonholed into a job in a corporation. We don't have any more independence, liberty, or individualism or self-reliance. And all of these jobs, from one corporation to another, all the salaries are maintained at a consistent level by comparison of job data for equivalent jobs. I worked in a corporation. I know that to be fact. And
yeah.
What we've got here is a total transfer of power over to people by the Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill, I got to say, you know, where this started really and started picking up steam really rapidly was in 1980 with the election of Ronald Reagan. Jimmy Carter was the last president of the United States to enforce the Sherman Act when he broke up AT&T.
And globalization, I'd like to point out on this, is it isn't providing that fairness to the American people as well, because
no,
the consolidations to control all business within a particular corporation is throwing people out of jobs. It's not for product improvement or improving productivity. It's simply for throwing people out of jobs.
Yeah, Bill, it's entirely for the benefit of the corporations. I absolutely agree with you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. And let's see, Fred in Burlington, Vermont on the line. Hey, Fred, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great, but I'll get better. How about you?
All right, I got one question for Congressman Sanders.
The first hour of this program plays an hour late on WDEV.
Okay.
And so Congressman Sanders was on an hour ago. He's gone now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, me too. So.
Well, man, I'll just have one question, though, for
okay.
At some point. And
maybe you can toss it out.
Next time.
Sure.
When is he going to do something about, like, fixing the student loan situation in this country? You know, it's like... It's really messed up. You know, my wife has something like $80,000 in student loans, and she's not allowed to refinance them at a lower rate, so she's stuck at paying 9 or 10% when a normal loan now is 4%. And
Fred, you know why Thomas Jefferson created the University of Virginia?
Yeah, I think I remember.
It was because he believed that every American should be able to have a free college education, because that was absolutely necessary for democracy. We need more than just a student loan program. We need to be willing and able to provide free college. This is what the GI Bill did back in the 50s and 60s, and it created a huge lurch forward in democracy and wealth in the United States. It's a very broken system. Bill, we got to move along. Thanks a lot for the call.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
Pollution might be driving up the cost of health care. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Healthcare costs are soaring, driven up by a variety of factors, including pharmaceuticals and malpractice insurance. But something else might also be pushing medical costs upward: pollution. Kent Bransford is a medical doctor and a member of Physicians for Social Responsibility. He says an asthma epidemic is at least partly due to dirty air.
About 1 in 14 kids now has asthma. So we're looking at an epidemic in asthma that's really occurred in the last couple of decades. Not all of that's related to air pollution, but a lot is related to air pollution. And that's very time-consuming and expensive medications, long-term health effects that we pay for every day.
Bransford says a number of studies show a clear link between childhood asthma and air quality. He says we need to clean up power plants, diesel engines, and other sources of air pollution.
We can deal with them cost-effectively so that we not only can minimize the danger to public health, but we can do it in a way that saves money for businesses, ultimately saves money for individuals who have to deal with health care and taking their children to emergency rooms and physicians and buying medications for asthma.
Bransford advocates a comprehensive approach to cleaning up emissions, which could cost billions of dollars.
On the negative side is probably higher utility rates in the short term, but on the positive side, lower health care consequences and health care costs.
Bransford says rising childhood asthma rates are one of the costs society bears for our failure to adequately clean up air pollution. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. 5 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894, telephone number. And Raymond in Roseburg, Oregon is on the line. Hey, Oregon. Hey, Raymond.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Well, I was watching your program not too long ago.
Listening
talking
to
about,
that.
George W. Bush, how that he, it's his fault that seniors can't get prescriptions from Canada.
Well, it's not his fault entirely. It's the fault of, well, first of all, many seniors can get prescriptions from Canada. What's happening is the pharmaceutical companies are now starting to refuse to sell to the pharmacies in Canada who are reselling into the United States to get around the fact that the conservatives in Congress and the Bush administration put into the Medicare bill this thing that says that Medicare cannot negotiate with drug companies.
Oh, well, first of all, the prescriptions, how do they know they're so safe, you know? I mean,
because it's the exact same drugs manufactured here in the United States. 90% of the prescription drugs sold in Canada are manufactured by drug companies in the United States. They're cheaper in Canada because the Canadian national health care system negotiates lower prices for them.
Okay, but it puts the,
it's
it
the
puts
same drugs.
The, companies here in the United States out of business.
What companies?
All the drug companies that are losing business because all these people are going up to Canada to get all their
nonsense, medication. Raymond. If the pharmaceutical companies in the United States were losing money selling drugs to Canada, they'd stop selling them.
It just seems to me like people are. I mean, It just seems like they're like...
Here's the bottom line, Raymond. Because Canada's negotiating prices, Shearing or SmithKline Glaxo or whoever may be making 5 cents on a pill when they sell it into Canada, whereas if they sell it to you or me, because the government has said that we cannot negotiate with them, pharmacies and Medicare cannot negotiate prices with them, they're going to make $4 a pill. The pharmaceutical company industry is the most profitable industry in the United States, and it's because they have been able, by bribing members of Congress and the Bush administration, they have been able to get legislation that prevents competition. In Canada, they have competition. The government of Canada negotiates with the drug companies here. Nobody's, other than the Pentagon, nobody's negotiating with drug companies in the United States. That's the problem. Got to move along. Bill in Route 89 in Vermont. Hey, Bill, we got about half a minute left here, I think. What's up? Bill? No, I'm sorry. Dick in St. Albans it is.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Dick. What's up?
Hello, Tom?
Yes, you're live and on the air. Got about 20 seconds.
What we really need to do is a comprehensive investigation, exposure of the Federal Reserve banking system.
Yeah, that's...
fiat currency that's collapsing.
Well, there's a good argument for that, you know, and also the manipulation thereof by people like Alan Greenspan, who believe in this conservative religion of let's use the interest rates to keep unemployment at a certain high enough level that you've got worker insecurity, and it's a real problem. Dick, I appreciate your call. We're out of time here for the program, so we've got to move along. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, talk radio for the rest of us.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Connecticut's Attorney General is accusing Bank of America Corporation of lying during the recent merger with Fleet Bank. Attorney General Richard Blumenthal has asked the Bank of America to provide information on how Wednesday's job cuts will affect employment levels in that state. Blumenthal said that the bank promised that current employment levels in Connecticut would remain steady or possibly increase after the merger. The bank has not announced how many positions were cut, but the Boston Globe reported that the number could be upwards of 1,500.
More bad news for workers at the nation's second-largest airline. A look into the books at United's pension fund shows the carrier poured millions into risky investments that often didn't pay off. Everything from junk bonds and high-tech startups that failed to energy traders like Dynergy and El Paso Energy. United's pension assets lost about 9.5% of their total value in 2002, while the average company's fund stayed roughly even that year. As a result, United is only able to meet about half of its $13 billion in pension liabilities. The company is expected to default on its obligations to retirees in the coming months.
New rules proposed by the Department of Homeland Security could make it harder for internal critics of the Border Patrol to be vocal. Officials of the National Border Patrol Council say that the new laws make it easier for management to punish or fire employees that criticize policies. The proposed regulations allow for expedited termination of employees for national security reasons by allowing for mandatory firing offenses and elimination of arbitration.
Another person has been charged in Texas for dangerously cramming undocumented Mexican workers into a truck to illegally transport them over the U.S.-Mexico border. The latest case involves 79 immigrants, including 14 children between the ages of 3 and 17. No one was harmed, unlike last year when 19 people died from heat after a truck filled with 70 immigrants was abandoned, locked, at a South Texas truck stop. It's estimated that between 300 and 400 Mexicans died each year trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The U.S. has nearly 6.9 million people in prison, on parole, or on probation, just over 3% of the population. A recent report from the Justice Department says that more than 130,000 people were processed by the justice system in 2003. The number of people on parole or probation also increased last year, up to 4.8 million. That's a rise of 73,000 over 2002. 38% of those discharged on parole ended up back in prison by the end of the year.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You put in 30 years at the company. You got good pay, health care. Then they send your job overseas. And under George Bush, the company actually gets a tax break for doing it. Now, Bush says we're in recovery. Then after a year, you finally land another job, and you wonder, is this what you worked your whole life for? We're not being led. We're being misled.
Maybe you're one of the 2 million Americans who've recently had their jobs offshore to India, Pakistan, and elsewhere. Or one of the millions more expected to have your job shipped abroad in the next few years. If so, don't worry, Bucko, for a new growth industry has arisen that offers exciting job opportunities for you discarded Americans. You, too, could become an American accent and culture trainer. It seems that while such corporations as Citibank, Dell, GE, and Microsoft are eager to abandon the U.S. and move their telephone service jobs to low-wage workers abroad, these English-speaking foreign workers are, well, foreign. So their accents and cultural references can be jarring to U.S. customers placing orders or seeking help. Thus, offshoring companies are hiring Americans to teach foreign replacement workers to sound and behave like Americans. Yes, this means you could end up teaching the Indian or Pakistani or Russian who was given your job how to sound like you. Courses in American Culture 101 include U.S. history memorization, American slang, basic sports knowledge, and pop culture. Quick, what's the Lone Star State? Who are the Florida Marlins? Can you name one talent that Britney Spears has? What's a burrito? The lesson plans for these courses include having to watch episodes of Friends and screening such films as Bruce Almighty. As for accents, there are voice exercises for Indians, for example, to help them lower their natural high-pitched and clipped pronunciation of English. And if the exercises are not enough, the corporate call centers use technology to filter the telephone voices of the foreign service reps, making them sound lower than they are. This is Jim Hightower saying, of course, it won't be long before the corporations train low-paid foreigners to teach American accents and culture to foreign workers. Then there'll be no need for American workers at all. I'm Jim Hightower, and I've approved this message.
Jim Hightower is not running for office, but he is back this campaign season with an important word about the regime of King George V.
Let's stop beating around the bush. These people are nuts.
Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush is Hightower's hilarious new best-selling book, offering you unvarnished facts, insight, and humor to get you through this year's political spin cycle. Buy Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush today and make politics fun again. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy it today.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, my friends. Have you heard about the Constitution Restoration Act? This is serious. This is House Resolution 3799, introduced into the House of Representatives by Robert Adderholt, Republican, and into the Senate by Richard Shelby, Republican of Alabama, and championed by Roy Moore. Yes, the Ten Commandments judge, Roy Moore. And this piece of legislation, well, let me just set this up for a minute. When we put together the interim constitution in Iraq, you know, Bremer, essentially we wrote their constitution. And we wrote it in ways that you know, the flat income tax and no tax on corporate profits, and corporations can take all the money out of Iraq, and Iraqis have to sell their assets to Americans if Americans are willing to buy, you know, want to do it, and the Americans can take all those profits out of it. In other words, it just stripped Iraq of all the protections that the nations typically and normally have for themselves and their own domestic industries and whatnot. But in addition to that, in this constitution that we wrote for Iraq, and the constitution says it can't be modified for 5 years. And it's supposedly the law, although some suggest, many international scholars suggest, this is a violation of the Geneva Conventions and the Hague Conventions, which both say that if you occupy a country, you can't change that country's laws. That can only be done when there is a popularly elected government which does it. But in any case, we did it. And that constitution in Iraq now says that the basis of Iraqi law is the Quran. And that all decisions made, all legislation proposed, must be consistent with Islamic law. It's in the Iraqi constitution. Now, wouldn't it be strange if something like that was put into the American constitution? Can you imagine? Something that said, for example, if a judge, Supreme Court, Federal Appeals Court, State Court, local, if a judge were to decide that a law or a behavior or a person who is claiming that God is the highest authority in the United States, not the Constitution, not the law of the land, but God. In other words, if somebody comes along and claims, God said this, I know because he told me, and therefore this is how it must be, or I know because he wrote it down in this book called the Bible, or this book called the Quran, or this book called the Vedas, or this book called the Upanishads. I mean, take your choice, right? If God said it, then American law must be. And if a judge rules that that's a violation of church and state, of the separation of church and state, that judge shall be impeached, removed from office. Well, what I just described to you is House Resolution 3799. It's an actual bill before Congress right now that would, quote, acknowledge God as the sovereign source of law, liberty, and government in the United States, end quote. It would forbid all legal challenges to government officials who use the power of the state to enforce their own view of God's sovereign authority, and any judge who dared even hear such a challenge could be removed from office. You think I am exaggerating? Let me read you the actual language. This section 302 of House Resolution 3799, that the conservatives are pushing this thing in Congress. Impeachment is titled Impeachment, Conviction, and Removal of Judges for Certain Extrajudicial Activities, to the extent that a justice of the Supreme Court, who can be removed, of the United States, or any judge of any federal court engages in any activity that exceeds the jurisdiction of the court or that justice or judge, as the case may be, by reason of Section 1620 and 1370 of Title 28 United States Code, as added by this act, engaging in that activity shall be deemed to constitute the commission of an offense for which that judge may be removed upon impeachment and conviction. Now, what is it of this act? It also says matters not item 1260. This is the one that you can be impeached for reviewing this. Item 1260 says matters not reviewable Section 1260 of Title 20 U.S. as aided by subsection A, shall not apply to an action pending on the date of enactment of this law, except to the extent that a party or claim is sought to be included in that action after the date of this. Blah-de-blah-de-blah. Anyhow, all this super legalese, what it basically boils down to is that, well, here it is. The Supreme Court shall not have jurisdiction to review by appeal writ of certiorari, I don't know how to pronounce this, certiorari, or otherwise any matter to the extent that relief is sought against an element of federal, state, or local government, or against an officer of federal, state, or local government by reason of that element or officer's acknowledgement of God as the sovereign source of law, liberty, or government. And if the Supreme Court tries to review that decision, they get impeached. And if the Supreme Court tries to review this law itself, they get impeached. Judge Roy Moore is pushing this thing, and he's actually got congressmen and senators behind it to turn the United States back into a into a theocracy. It never was a theocracy. The Taliban is a theocracy. That's their model. And Judge Moore wants to have it so that those judges that removed him from being the Supreme Court, the head of the Supreme Court in Alabama for refusing to take the Ten Commandments out of the, you know, this two-ton marble statue out of the rotunda, that they can be impeached. This is payback time. This is Judge Moore's revenge. Turn the United States into a country not that dissimilar from Afghanistan 3 years ago. And they're deadly serious about it. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Chris in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's on the line. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Wait, Tom, I wish you would have read that before I ate my lunch.
Yeah,
that's
sorry.
Terrifying.
Sorry, it's mind-boggling.
It is.
It's mind-boggling.
Well, let me go back to a caller in the last hour, and this is exactly what you just read there is exactly why we need this. And he was talking about student loan reform, and you said, you know, forget student loan reform, we need free college education. And I just wanted to pass along some information I had on that. There's a Adolf Reed Jr., his name is. He's the co-chair of the Campaign for Higher Education. Mm-hmm. Their website is freehighered.org. And, you know, allows you to get involved in this movement, has some articles, you know, FAQs on costs and all that good stuff. So,
yeah.
But you scared me with that.
Well, the bottom line is if you want America to be successful in the world economy, we need to have an educated populace, number one. If you want America to maintain its democracy, we need to have an educated populace. If you want to have members of Congress who have actually read the Constitution so they don't go for idiotic legislation like what I just read to you, you need to have free public education. I mean, it's just very simple. Right now, if you're very wealthy, you can get educated, and that's, you know, the access into a good, safe, secure job in many cases. If you're the middle class, you get to go into debt, thousands, hundreds of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you know, many people are 5-10 years out of college and they're still paying off student loans. I mean, it's wrong.
You should sell it to your Republican friends at the water cooler on this is an investment in the business in our country, in the economy of our country. So people like Alan Greenspan, when he's asked about outsourcing, he says, well, we just don't have enough educated workers in this country.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, his side, the Republicans, conservatives would never dream of paying for something like this.
They
try and have it both ways. Or they try and make these arguments, and then they don't want to make that investment.
Well, the bottom line is that, you know, they figure, hey, I've got mine. Why should I invest in anybody else's? I mean, this is of, by, and for the rich. It's Greenspan's worldview. It's the conservative worldview, by and large, at least as reincarnated. I would say it was not the conservative worldview in 1950, but it certainly is today. And it's toxic. It's toxic
to
democracy.
This guy might be a good guest. Adolf Reed Jr., freehighered.org for that,
freehighered.org.
Okay. Caller.
Cool. Chris, thanks
for
the call. Good information. I appreciate it. 16 minutes past the hour, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Michael in Santa Fe, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Hey, Tom, first of all, I'm extremely distressed to hear that your lecture a week from tonight is sold out. I didn't get my ticket soon enough, so I'll be the guy standing out there with my finger up. One ticket, please. So,
fortunately, it's that finger, eh?
What's that? I don't know. It's the first one.
Got it.
You know, like outside a Grateful Dead concert.
Yep.
One ticket, you know.
Yep.
But anyways, what I really called about was, okay, so what's the end of this legislation? How can one branch of the government say, we can't be held in check and balance of the other two branches?
Well, this is the second time the Republicans have tried to do this. The DOMA law that they tried to propose a little while ago also had a provision in it which said that the Defense of Marriage Act, that had a, you know, the anti-gay marriage bill also had a provision in it which said that it is illegal for the Supreme Court to review this piece of legislation, which is clearly unconstitutional.
Yeah,
clearly.
So if the Supreme Court goes ahead and tries to review it anyways, what are the Republicans going to do? Send the army to the Supreme Court and facing off with federal marshals?
They would impeach them. They would impeach them. And
well, but then the federal marshals would not let them impeach the justices of the Supreme Court, because the federal marshals are the tools of the judiciary. So we'd have a war between two branches of government? I mean, what's the end of this?
Well, I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe federal marshals are under the executive branch.
I thought federal marshals worked for the judiciary.
Maybe they do. Frankly, I don't know.
Federal marshal.
It makes sense, actually.
Sent out by a judge to go do something.
Yeah, you're right.
They're
enforcing what the courts say. You're probably right. But you've got this weird situation, though, where if the Senate votes to impeach a judge, then the federal marshal show, and the judge refuses to leave. Who's going to show up? The federal marshals. Are they working for the judge? Are they working for the Senate? This is an attempt at a coup d'etat. It's an attempt
at bringing
down democracy in the United States.
Scary.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, rigging the vote. Now they're down in Florida. They're going around in black neighborhoods, knocking on doors, showing their firearms, and saying, we understand there's an attempt at vote fraud going on here. We are talking to people who might vote. Are you going to vote this year? Just in black neighborhoods, strangely enough.
If you've ever seen the movie The Handmaiden's Tale, go see it.
Well, yeah, I haven't. What is it?
Great. Well, thanks a lot, Tom.
Okay. All righty. Thanks, Michael, for the call. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. This is a critical, an absolutely critical time for democracy in the United States. It is absolutely on the line. We have an administration and we have a Republican Party which has been hijacked, and some parts of the Democratic Party as well have been hijacked by people who believe that the ends justify the means, that it doesn't matter what you have to do to gain power, and that the purpose of gaining power is to protect the prerogatives of wealth, purely. That property trumps human rights. Property rights trump human rights. And it is not the vision that the founders had. It is not the vision that sustains democracy. It's the vision of aristocracy, feudalism, and kingdoms. And it is not, I don't believe, what we want to go back to, the era before 1776. I think we would really like to see a continuation of American democracy. 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. With the continuing erosion of the middle class and the separation between the rich and poor increasing at an alarming rate as America's middle class vanishes, I refuse to lie down and watch our great democracy be replaced by a corporate aristocracy. That's why I wrote What Would Jefferson Do? A Return to Democracy. In this new book, I present a striking call to action and outline what hardworking citizens can do to win back the power we're supposed to command under the United States Constitution. Now, more than ever, we citizens must heed the wisdom of our nation's third president and the author of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson. If we are to continue to be the world's greatest nation, we must lead based on Jefferson's principles and, almost more important, we must be led by someone who understands and believes in the people, not the powerful with deep pockets. My new book, What Would Jefferson Do? A Return to Democracy, is available in bookstores everywhere. For more than 27 years, the progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report.
We've all heard the phrase, use it or lose it. Well, according to a study just published in the journal Neurology, people with mentally challenging work seem to be less likely to develop Alzheimer's disease than those working in physically demanding jobs. Researchers suggest lifelong stimulus maintains a reserve of brain cells and strengthens connections between neurons.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. 24 and a half minutes before the hour. And Judge Roy Moore here trying to turn the United States back into a theocracy. It's not the only thing in the news today. Today the Wall Street Journal reports, and it's been all over the media, news reports all over the country, that United Airlines is likely to terminate their pension plan. Now, why and how can they do this? In part, it's because we have come to the conclusion in the United States, after 30 years, more or less, of conservative indoctrination, that the purpose of a corporation is to protect the corporation and its senior executives. Now, think about that for a minute. Why in a nation would you have an economy? Why in a nation? I mean, you know, this is a serious question. I mean, the communists came along and they said, no, we don't need no stinking free market economy. We'll have a command economy. Everything's owned by the state. Why would a nation say, okay, we want to have an economy. We want to authorize companies to do business privately. We want to let people privately do business in our nation. Why would we do that? The answer, of course, is that we would do that because it serves the public good. Now, some people would say, well, you want to do it so that a few people can get rich. Well, a few people may get rich as a side effect, but the real reason why you allow a company to exist is because ultimately it's going to employ people. They're going to give their labor to that company, and that company is going to take that labor and make a profit on it. It's going to benefit, therefore, the stockholders and the CEOs and whatnot, but it's also going to benefit the employees. It's going to ultimately benefit society. society is made up of mostly the workers. And we used to be very clear about this in the United States. And this is something that we understood very, very well. My grandfather's generation got it. And we seem to have lost this. We've got this notion now that the reason why you have a corporation is so that the corporation can survive and the CEOs can make millions. And what happens to the workers just really doesn't matter. And I would say that the whole reason that we allow corporations to exist is because they're serving some social good. And the main social good that they serve is providing employment, because without employment, you have no economy. You've got nobody to spend. You've got nobody with cash to buy things. But because of this bizarre notion that we have about what the purpose of an economy is and what the purpose of a company is, our bankruptcy laws, which were recently tightened so that if you or I as an individual try to declare bankruptcy, we can no longer just walk away from our debts. We can be followed for years and years and years by people in the credit card and banking industries under many conditions. We can lose our homes. You know, there's things that are not protected the way they used to be. Bankruptcy reform. Remember? Well, they reformed the bankruptcy laws to make it harder for an individual to declare bankruptcy and to make it easier for a corporation to declare bankruptcy and use that bankruptcy to screw their employees. Pardon the bluntness of my language, but it's just... And here it is. United Airlines parent UAL Corp said in a court filing that it likely will terminate its pension plans in order to become a viable business. Article in today's Wall Street Journal: UAL is likely to terminate pension plans, by Susan Carey. UAL, which has been excoriated by two of its unions, a federal pension insurer, and the Labor Department for missing a July pension contribution. See, they already missed a payment. Said it hasn't made a final decision on terminating the four underfunded plans, which cover 120,000 workers and retirees. They haven't made a decision. They got to decide. Now, what's best for the survival of United Airlines? Now, it's a fine thing that United Airlines survives. I happen to like United Airlines. I was a 1K flyer with them for years and years. I'm a premier flyer, whatever it is now. But we have to go back to figuring out what our priorities are in this country. 29 minutes past the hour.
Can you imagine a world in which all kids live healthy, safe, productive, and prosperous lives? Well, that world is within our grasp, and there's a way to reach it. It's called Econonomics. And to learn more, just pull up DennisWeaverNow.com and learn how to get a free report of our Econonomics educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Connecticut's Attorney General is accusing Bank of America Corporation of lying during the recent merger with Fleet Bank. Attorney General Richard Blumenthal has asked the Bank of America to provide information on how Wednesday's job cuts will affect employment levels in that state. Blumenthal said that the bank promised that current employment levels in Connecticut would remain steady or possibly increase after the merger. The bank has not announced how many positions were cut, but the Boston Globe reported that the number could be upwards of 1,500.
More bad news for workers at the nation's second-largest airline. A look into the books at United's pension fund shows the carrier poured millions into risky investments that often didn't pay off. Everything from junk bonds and high-tech startups that failed to energy traders like Dynergy and El Paso Energy. United's pension assets lost about 9.5% of their total value in 2002, while the average company's fund stayed roughly even that year. As a result, United is only able to meet about half of its $13 billion in pension liabilities. The company is expected to default on its obligations to retirees in the coming months.
New rules proposed by the Department of Homeland Security could make it harder for internal critics of the Border Patrol to be vocal. Officials of the National Border Patrol Council say that the new laws make it easier for management to punish or fire employees that criticize policies. The proposed regulations allow for expedited termination of employees for national security reasons by allowing for mandatory firing offenses and elimination of arbitration.
Another person has been charged in Texas for dangerously cramming undocumented Mexican workers into a truck to illegally transport them over the U.S.-Mexico border. The latest case involves 79 immigrants, including 14 children between the ages of 3 and 17. No one was harmed, unlike last year when 19 people died from heat after a truck filled with 70 immigrants was abandoned, locked, at a South Texas truck stop. It's estimated that between 300 and 400 Mexicans die each year trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The U.S. has nearly 6.9 million people in prison, on parole, or on probation, just over 3% of the population. A recent report from the Justice Department says that more than 130,000 people were processed by the justice system in 2003. The number of people on parole or probation also increased last year, up to 4.8 million. That's a rise of 73,000 over 2002. 38% of those discharged on parole ended up back in prison by the end of the year.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, 27 minutes before the hour. You'll recall Max Cleland was attacked as being unpatriotic by Saxby Chambliss, his opponent in the Senate race, his Republican opponent. Max Cleland, the Vietnam veteran who left his right arm and both legs on the battlefield in Vietnam, attacked by Saxby Chambliss, a draft dodger. A draft dodger. He had a trick knee. It was so bad he couldn't go to combat, but he's certainly qualified to be in the United States Senate, right? Anyhow, Saxby Chambliss ran these horrible ads that open with a picture of Osama bin Laden and then go through this rap about how Max Cleland has voted against the creation of the Homeland Security Department. And, you know, therefore saying, you know, he's not tough on security. He's not going to go after bin Laden. And the reason why Max Cleland was opposed to that legislation was not because he was opposed to the creation of a Homeland Security Department. He was very much on record as being in favor of the creation of a Homeland Security Department. He was opposed to the way they were doing it because the way that they were proposing to do it would eliminate unionization within the, you know, government employees or unions would say that the Homeland Security Department can hire people who are not union members and doesn't have to let them into the union. It's federal union busting promoted by the Bush administration. It's just an extension of Reagan, Reagan's the war on organized labor that Ronald Reagan declared back in the early 1980s. And so this is why Cleland objected to this. And here now, here we go. This is what happens. The Department of Homeland Security is now proposing new rules, new internal rules, regulations. You know, the internal rules define how the agency works and what the employees can do and can't do and all that kind of thing. They would make it easier to punish and fire agents. Well, now, sounds like a reasonable idea, right? If you've got somebody who's out of line, if you've got somebody who's not doing their job, if you've got somebody who's engaging in criminal activity, if you have somebody who's embezzling, if you have somebody who's a spy, I mean, wouldn't it be a good idea to be able to fire them? I would think so. The only problem is that this rule doesn't have anything to do with any of those crimes. Under the new rule, if you're a member of the Homeland Security Department, and you blow the whistle on something that the Homeland Security Department is doing wrong, you can be fired. In fact, here's the story, the Associated Press. New Labor Department, new rules proposed by the Department of Homeland Security would muzzle internal critics of the Border Patrol by making it easier to punish and fire agents who have often been vocal critics of management policies. This according to union officials. Not only that, it doesn't require an act of Congress for this to happen. Because of the way things were set up, what Max Cleland was objecting to. They put these rules out, and they're simply going to take effect sometime this summer or this fall. The new regulations would take effect upon their release, expected in late summer or early fall. As proposed, they would make significant changes to rules covering some 50,000 Homeland Security employees. The president of the National Border Patrol Council on Wednesday said, and I quote, this guy's name is T.J. Bonner, said, quote, "People aren't going to be willing to talk. It's going to have a very chilling effect." Gee, what a surprise from this administration. They don't like people telling the truth. They don't want people speaking. Look at what happened to Colleen Rowley. Look at what happened to Sybil Edmonds. Sybil Edmonds comes along, you know, "Gee, here in the FBI, I just discovered that the guy working next to me is a spy," she says. What happens? She gets fired. Why? Because she spoke up. When are people going to figure out? When are Americans going to figure out that protecting the rights of employees who are employees of the federal government means protecting all of us? Means protecting the ability of people within the government to hold the government accountable, which is protecting us from the misuse of government power, because government power is very real. The government has the authority to come after you, as libertarians love to point out, you know, with guns and put you in jail. Try not paying your taxes for a couple of years. No, don't. I'm not suggesting that, but, you know, if you're inclined to go to jail. The proposed regulations, the Associated Press notes, allow the government to fire people for, I would say, so-called national security reasons under an expedited process and would create new mandatory firing offenses and eliminate arbitration for removal. So somebody like Sybil Edmonds, who says, "Hey, there's something rotten going on here," the process is expedited. Boom, you're out of here now. Zoom. But wait a minute, I'd like arbitration. I would like a disinterested third party to come in here and listen to what I... Nope, you can't do that anymore. Sorry. The new rules would also allow Homeland Security to control pay raises and make it easier to transfer workers to different regions of the country. They don't like what you're doing, they'll move you to Alaska. Mark Roth, the general counsel for the American Federation of Government Employees, said, "They are literally making them second-class government employees." Well, that's exactly what Max Cleland was warning about. Here it is, the conservative vision for America, absolute power, whether corporate or government. This is something I would think that even conservatives who give lip service to being concerned about big government and excessive power in government would be opposed to this. You would think even they would say, "Wait a minute." But you see, their fear of organized labor is greater than their fear of government power, apparently. It's remarkable. Hey, Ira, one of those speakers out there is just too loud. I can hear the delay in my headphones. Up to 250,000 people apply for 3,000 temporary jobs in California. Did you catch this story? I heard this on NPR this morning when I woke up. It was the first thing I heard when I woke up. You know, the radio came on. And the why would a 250,000 people apply for a temporary job? And some of them from as far away as New York State for a temporary job in Los Angeles, California. Why? Well, turns out it's a union job. There is so much stuff coming into the West Coast ports because, you know, Walmart is bringing in more and more stuff all the time. And not just Walmart. I mean, all these big box retailers, they are eating alive. They are inhaling, destroying small local businesses and American manufacturers by bringing in goods from China and Malaysia and, you know, the poorer countries of Asia, countries that are willing to engage in slave labor and whatnot. Well, you know, they're growing. Their economies are you know, being boosted. We're creating a middle class. Well, isn't that great? We're giving up our middle class here to create a middle class in China. That sounds very altruistic. But anyhow, we're bringing so much stuff in through the Port of Los Angeles that they don't have enough dock workers to unload the ships. And they need to hire 2,000 people. And these are longshoremen jobs. These are union jobs. They start at $20 to $28 an hour. So these are the kind of jobs you can actually raise a family on. Try raising a family, putting your kids through college, paying for health care, putting a little aside for old age, doing what George Bush suggests when, you know, we'd like to see people own more stuff so they have a stake in America. Try doing that on $8, $9, $10 an hour, or $6 an hour, or $5.15, or $5.50, our minimum wage now. I mean, it's fine for a short-term job. It's fine for a, you know, single person, young person just starting out. But this, you know, if you want to raise a family in America today, you know, you got to have a good job. And where are you going to get that? They're vanishing left and right because of our trade policies. Because we have said, okay, we're going to change the rules of the game. The rules of the game of economics. We're going to call it free trade, even though there's over 900 pages of regulations involved with the World Trade Organization. We're going to call it free trade. Nothing free about it. It's highly regulated. But it's highly regulated to the benefit of multinational corporations and not to the benefit of individual nations. The United States, in signing NAFTA and GATT, has surrendered sovereignty. And the middle class is paying the price. And the evidence of it you can see so clearly, so clearly. The mediator ordered the Union and West Coast shipping lines to proceed with a lottery. They're doing a lottery for this because they have a 250,000 applications for 2,000 jobs. 3,000 jobs. A 250,000 applications. So they're going to pick out about 12,000 people on the assumption that some of them are going to fail physicals or drug tests or background checks or they can't handle strenuous work. And they're going to weed that down to 3,000 people. Raymond Sheets, who's a 47-year-old tree trimmer in San Diego, hopes to land one of the jobs. He says, this is almost like going to the horse track and betting on the long shot. I mean, what have we come to in the United States? Well, here's what we've come to. This is the consequence of Reaganomics, which is now Bushonomics. Reuters reports today, more Americans likely slid into poverty in 2003, and the gap between the rich and the poor widened, economists said on yesterday, in a report that could fuel Democrat criticism of President Bush. Whoever wrote this is somebody who, you know, Good old Newt Gingrich, he came along and he said, you know, the Democratic Party has been called the Democratic Party ever since Thomas Jefferson created it. It was called the Democratic Republican Party, of course, back then. In the late 1820s, early 1830s, they dropped the word Republican, which then got picked up in the 1850s as a separate party. That was when the Republican Party got formed, their first major presidential candidate being Abe Lincoln. So it was the Democratic Party, because it used to be the Democratic Republicans, and it's still the Democratic Party. It still is. There is no such thing as a Democrat Party. But Newt Gingrich came along with his word list, and he said, you know, we need to take control of the language here, and Democratic sounds too democratic. So whenever we refer to the Democratic Party, start calling it the Democrat Party. It'll diminish it in people's minds. So here we have an actual Reuters story. More Americans likely slid into poverty in 2003, and the gap between the rich and poor widened, economists said on Thursday in a report that could fuel Democrat criticism of President Bush. Center for Economic and Policy Research estimated 700,000 Americans, three-quarters of a million Americans, were added to the rolls of the poor last year. 36.4 million people. How much do you have to make to be considered poor in the United States? If you're a single person, if you make less than $9,573 a year, you're poor. 36.4 million people. 18.1% of all children in America, roughly one in five children in America, lives in poverty. The poverty rate tends to track the overall economy, this article notes. The author is not named. It has increased each year since 2000, sparking criticism from Democrats that Bush's economic policies are skewed to benefit the rich. What a surprise! The gap between rich and poor is widening. Families above the average are seeing an increase in income, but families on the bottom are seeing a drop, says economist Heather Bousy. The report also found the number of Americans with health care coverage, fell in 2003 for the third year in a row. What a coincidence. All this stuff started with George W. Bush's economic policies. Aren't you just surprised? 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Steve in Santa Fe, is on the line. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Hi. You're just coming. I'm driving in between Santa Fe and my town. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I look forward to seeing you here.
Actually, now I can't hear you, Steve. You're breaking up. It's not working. I'm sorry. I'm going to disconnect you. You can call back. We've got another minute or two before a break, and then we'll have 3 minutes after the break if you want to try and get into that little segment there, if you get in an area where your cell phone's working better. All right, this is just the plain, unfortunate reality of America, that more and more Americans now are sliding into poverty, and that's exactly... That's exactly the conservative agenda. It's not that they're evil people. It's just that they have a bizarre philosophy, which is producing this consequence. They have this notion, this philosophy, that if it's good, that if it's good for the corporations and the CEOs, it must be good for America. And it turns out, it's wrong. But it's their philosophy, and they're sticking with it, and they're getting a lot of money from the CEOs and the corporations to keep promoting it. So, seems to work for them. 10 minutes before the hour.
The following phone call was not recorded on February 30th, 2004.
Thank you for calling about DirecTV. My name is Lynn. How can I help you?
Thank you, sir. Thank goodness you're there. You've got to help me. My cable company is raising their rates again. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm here to help. I'm glad you called.
They're taking away our favorite channels and charging more. It's just wrong.
Ma'am, I get that all the time. Let me help you right away. Would you like to get over 125 channels of your favorite programming for only $39.99?
Will I still be able to get my local channel?
Absolutely. And because you called American Satellite right now, you can get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free and free professional installation for all new customers with an annual programming commitment.
Oh, thank you. My husband, Nick, is going to be so happy.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-505-1542. That's 800-505-1542. Call now and ask how you can get total choice for only $29.99 a month for the first 6 months. A $60 value. 800-505-1542. At $4.99 a month per second and each additional receiver. Offer ends July 17, 2004. Call
now.
Now, it's time for This Billionaire Moment.
When you look at a forest, do you see pretty flowers and cute little critters hopping around? Well, when we billionaires look at a forest, we see redwood decks, teak furniture, and reams of bleached white paper. We look at all the untapped natural resources available, and we see opportunity where others can't see the forest for the trees. Aren't you bored of tree huggers whining about the precious old growth forests? Don't they understand the law of supply and demand? The more trees we clear cut, the more scarce we make them, and the more valuable they become as a commodity. So the next time you hear the buzz of chainsaws, know the billionaires are giving Mother Nature more bang for her buck. I'm Zena Fope for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Here come the billionaires!
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
From uneducated laughingstock to government minister, an African woman's story of courage. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Frances Moore LePay met a lot of courageous people while researching her book, Hope's Edge, but few were as inspiring as Wangari Maathai, an uneducated young woman concerned about the loss of forests in her East African country of Kenya.
Here's a woman who in 1977 planted 7 trees on Earth Day, and her vision was tree planting throughout her country of Kenya because of the loss of the forest there. The government said unschooled village women can't plant trees. It takes foresters to do that. Well, she started a village movement of tree planting and has succeeded in 20 million trees being planted and surviving in Kenya through nurseries run by unschooled village women.
LePay tells Maathai's story in her new book called You Have the Power. She describes how Maathai's tree planting program drew the unwelcome attention of Kenya's dictator, Daniel Arap Moi. The young woman was ridiculed, beaten, and imprisoned for her efforts. But things have changed. Democratic elections in 2002 brought in a new government headed by the National Rainbow Coalition. LePay says Wangari Maathai is now part of the new power structure.
And here a woman who had been jailed and beaten by the Moi government is now the deputy minister for the environment in the new government and helping to write a new constitution for Kenya.
LePay says Maathai is a person of unusual courage and persistence, and her story can serve as an inspiration to others fighting an uphill battle to protect the environment.
When we were there in Kenya, her message was that she didn't know that she could succeed. Her message was that she just kept walking.
That's Frances Moore LePay, author of You Have the Power. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. 5 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Getting ready to fly out to California here for the Soulfest conference, where I'll be speaking tomorrow. Should be interesting. Going to be visiting Michael and Justine Toms, New Dimensions Radio. We'll be doing something with them. Unknown object hovering in the St. Paul sky. Interesting story. We'll get to that in a second, or perhaps next Monday. Steve in Santa Fe is back on the line. Let's see if your cell phone is working a little better, Steve. You there?
Yeah, here I am.
Oh, great. Okay.
Over to a better place.
Good. What's your point?
I haven't been listening to you all morning, and I don't know if you've got into it, but on Monday, the overtime goes out the window for I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah, 700,000 more or less.
Yeah.
It may be even more than that. It may be several million. Nobody knows for sure, but it's going to be a lot of people, yeah.
And what I wanted to kind of ask you, if anybody had done any studies about how much it's going to cost people in that, you know, in their range of salary range as opposed to the tax cut that they got?
That's a good question.
And I plan on opening up a restaurant here in a few months, and, you know, I have conservative friends, and they say, well, you'll find out about labor when you start your business. And I say, well, I'm not going to worry about what I have to pay people. I'm worried about the people in my area and whether they're going to be able to, you know, go out to dinner.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, see, that's looking at the big picture. I mean, the reality is that when you do go into business, you do have to look out for the interests of the business. And that's why it behooves all of us not to criticize individual business owners, but to say what we need to do is change the rules of the game. We need to have a decent minimum wage in this country at which people can actually raise a family. We have to have union-friendly laws in this country so that unionization can happen, so that the labor can have some power relative to management. And then all the employers will be competing on a level playing field against each other. And you know, we will be back to where we were in the 50s and 60s and 70s when we actually had a middle class in the United States and one person could raise a family. You still there, Steve?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. So, anyhow, that's my rant. Thanks for the call. I appreciate the comment. I think this whole thing about all these folks losing their overtime pay is a huge problem. A huge problem in the United States, and hopefully it'll get a lot more press. We did extensively talk about this in the first hour of the program when we had Bernie Sanders on. So, end of week, TGIF, Shabbat Shalom, happy Friday. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thanks to Louise for producing our program, to Ira for engineering it, Ira Gravatt. Thanks to Brad Walrod for our music and Shelby for streaming us around the planet. Thanks to our sponsors for keeping us on the air. Benjamin Krim, Small Dog Electronics, the progressive, the populist in these times. Thanks to Jay for our music, the folks in our chat room, and thanks to you. See you next Monday.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
While the world seems to be collapsing around us, there is hope. Tom Hartman's inspiring book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, has just been re-released. The new updated version is available now and offers solutions to the issues that concern us most: eco-damage, genetic engineering, virulent disease, the end of cheap oil, water shortages, global famine, wars. We can still do something about it and create a world that will work for us and our children's children. As the inspiration for Leonardo DiCaprio